to Mindhead. Welcome to Mindhead. Welcome to Mindhead. Welcome to Mindhead. Welcome to Mindhead.
Listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
You, I suppose you're programmed for etiquette and protocol.
I'll be working very hard, nonstop.
I have no need for a protocol droid.
I made a cream cheese and mixed berry flavoring.
What I really need is a droid who understands the binary language of moisture evaporators.
Came out terrible.
Can you speak bocce?
Nonstop.
Shut up, I'll take this. Take these two over to the garage, will you? I want them cleaned up before dinner.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done. Now, come on, get to it.
All right, come on.
Come on. Come on, let's go!
I'm concerned about him. Barf all over the plate.
Uncle Owen!
Yeah?
The R2 unit has a bad motivator, look!
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
Son, where did you get this gun?
My mom gave it to me.
Oh, can I borrow it for a little while?
Sure.
It seems as though you're doing much better.
Yes, yes.
Your paranoia is definitely under control since you came to understand happy premise number one.
Happy premise number one. There are no aliens.
Happy premise number two.
Happy premise number two. There is no giant foot trying to squash me.
Happy premise number three.
Happy premise number three. Even though I feel like I might ignite, I probably won't.
So, what do we do?
Keep it together. Keep it together, keep it together, keep it together, keep it together, keep it together.
And what is it we don't do under any circumstances?
Oh, man.
What is it?
Look, I have to show it to the Laker girls.
You cannot show it to the Laker girls. Keep Mr. Weenie in the pants. Always in the pants. I know you want to show it to the Laker girls, but you must never show it to the Laker girls.
Hey, Laker girl!
Thank you.
Who's a dynamite?
Hey, everybody!
We're back!
It's time for Nowhere Mulberry! Ho ho!
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Film, television, pop culture, that's what we talk about here on Nowhere and Mulberry. Thank you very much for joining us live and in other ways. I don't know. Steven, the pop culture bud, here to my left. How's it going, Steven?
I'm great.
Fantastic. And also, we have a little birthday boy here, Mulberry Bill. A belated belated birthday boy. How's it going, Bill? How was your birthday?
It was good. Had the family up and had a good time.
Your birthday was actually Monday, right?
Sunday.
Sunday. So it hasn't been that long. We could still wish you happy birthday, right?
I suppose so, yes.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, yes.
Happy birthday to you.
It's a tradition. This is how we wish people birthdays.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. Ah, yes. Good times, Bill. I'm glad you had a good birthday, a wonderful birthday. And, I mean, we're not like chicks. You want to tell us how old you are, right?
I'm 30.
You're 30 years old. Hey,
yes.
The big 3-0, right?
Yeah, born 1979. Happy birthday to you. Even got a view wish birthday.
No, I really, I could do without Whoopi.
We got to spring the Whoopi every time. But yeah, it's better to be 30 than in the 20s, I'm thinking.
It's all going down from hill from here.
Dude, I'm going to be 38 this year, so I'll be slipping into a depression soon next month.
I'm waiting for that big 4-0 for you.
I'm not ready to turn 40. Good Lord,
yeah,
man.
Not Steven's 40. He's like, everybody needs to be 40. Yeah.
It's going to be like that soon. But happy birthday to you, Bill. And I wish you many more.
Thank you. I hope there are many more.
Now, guys, it's so great to be back doing the show. It's quite wonderful. We're here to talk about so many things. But, hey, Bill, the book club show, The Wastelands, came out. I finally put it out. And I wanted to mention that I also put out a feed for it, finally, a podcast feed. If you want to just subscribe to the book shows as they come out, you don't have to look for it on the forum or whatever. You'll just see it appear on the feed. It's also on iTunes. And if you just do a search on iTunes for Nowhere and Mulberry, you'll see like 5 different shows show up feeds. There's also a NIM Book Club enhanced podcast where there's pictures from the book and stuff like that. If there weren't enough pictures for chapters, I'll go online and kind of do a little search on artwork or whatever. But I try to make it kind of easy to do for myself, that is, where it's just like a chapter every 10 minutes. So you can just skip around. Because I know they're real long shows, Bill, where we're just talking. I'm sure you could easily lose your place, you know. So I figure,
or fall asleep.
Yeah. But I figure chapters are an easy way to do it. In fact, I just tried it out and, like, you know, you could skip around and listen to different parts of the book as we talk about it. The thing was a long edit, but I'm actually proud of it. I think it turned out pretty good.
It did come out good. I listened to it the other night while I was in bed.
Oh, good. So how was my voice in that?
Soothing. It put me right to sleep.
You know what? I love listening to people talk. That's how I go to sleep a lot on my iPod. Like, I'll listen to a podcast or whatever. It does put me right to sleep. It's good, except for when I wake up and I still have the earbud in one ear. I'm like, oh.
And your ear's sore.
Yeah, and I've actually ruined one of my earbuds by yanking too hard. Like, yanked it out. There's no sound in it anymore. So that's pretty dangerous. One day I'm going to wake up and have that little rubber part just jammed down, lodged in there. Get some tweezers.
Yeah, I keep the early films podcast from the Hollywood Saloon on my iPod when I need to fall asleep.
Oh, good. So that really helps?
It does.
Oh, Bill, Uncle Owen wants to ask you something.
Okay.
Do you speak bocce?
No, but I play it.
Oh, nice.
Houdini!
I love those little Jawa guys.
Oh, me
too.
They're
trying to push on us.
Oh, sorry, Uncle Owen. Now, guys, as always, we have a Rick voicemail, huh?
Gold.
And he reviews X-Men Origins Wolverine. Now, I have to say that, Bill, I really wanted to watch it before I heard Rick's review. Otherwise, I wouldn't know what he was talking about. And, you know, as we know, Bill has told us on many occasions this movie really sucks. So I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like, okay, movie, I know that you suck. I'm going to just sit back and relax and watch this bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Surprise me.
Yeah, surprise me.
Show me that Bill is just a cynical bastard.
But, man, it doesn't take long into the movie where I first laughed, and it's with Wolverine as a little boy. He's angry because he thinks his dad has just been killed or whatever, and little bone claws come out of his little tiny kid hands, and he goes, like to the,
but it's
to
that
the,
shot where he looks up in the sky,
you know,
and the camera
it's
pulls
the,
up
the obligatory
the god looking down shot, and this little kid, you know, it's a little kid, how like moving is this gonna be?
It's got so much rage.
It was hilarious. But man, you're not kidding, Bill, the effects in this movie, they should be ashamed of themselves.
I was shocked, like, how much money they spent on this thing, and it looks like somebody did it in Final Cut Pro on their Apple. I mean,
parts
it just
looks
so bad.
I'm wondering if it was supposed to be badass. There's a part with Ryan Reynolds with two, like, friggin' samurai swords, right? He goes into a room with dudes with machine guns. He's going, ching-ching-ching-ching-ching-ching-ching, like, real rapid, deflecting bullets. He even chops a bullet in half, kills two guys. I'm not thinking, dude, this is badass. I'm thinking, this is stupid shit I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And
those must have been adamantium swords.
Yeah, I'm guessing. They're bulletproof, so it's pretty... Yeah. But that's not cool. It's friggin' gay, okay?
Yeah,
and another
it's
thing,
stupid.
I see in the opening credits some weird... I'm like, is that a name? I don't understand this hieroglyphic. But I figured out it's Will.i.am from the Black Eyed Peas playing some black dude who I've never heard of in the X-Men. But he can tell
who has the Nightcrawler.
Yeah, his Nightcrawler's powers. He's like a black cowboy, Will.i.am. So it's got Will.i.am teleporting all over the place. What the hell?
Let's get retarded.
Yeah, and he's like bitch slapping Perez Hilton and shit. But yeah, that didn't really work for me either. When you put, we got to have either Common, Ludacris, or Will.i.am. Will.i.am is in the basement of those guys. I'd rather take Common, Sticky Fingers, or Ludacris. Yeah, over
Sticky
any of those
Fingers
guys.
Isn't getting nearly enough work after Blade the series.
It's like, come on, dude, you can't get this role over Will.i.am.
Jesus. I was talking to somebody online about how Ludacris chooses which name he wants to use depending on the film.
Yeah.
Like some movies he's Chris Ludacris Bridges. Some movies he's just Chris Bridges. Like I was wondering what the criteria was to
I gotta tell
Ludacris.
You, Bill, because you know, recently I'd watched Fast and Furious and I was like, man, the effects I gotta tell you, the whole ending to Fast and Furious, I swear to God, they watched Speed Racer, and they're like, hey, let's do something like that. But here's what I think. They were already in production on the movie, like making it, and they were like, hey, let's do something like Speed Racer. I just saw it yesterday, and they're like, oh, okay, well, we got to scrap all this stuff. We'll just throw it in post. So there's like this race through caverns and shit, and it's all CGI. It's hilarious. Wow. So I'm saying...
Cavern races.
Cavern races, yes. See, okay, these are like... This is in Mexico where they're running guns or whatever. These guys have a secret cavern entrance where it looks like rock. Yeah, okay. Yeah, they rigged that. Okay. So
is it a hologram?
But here's the best line in the movie, Bill. Vin Diesel insults the bad guy because the bad guy uses nitrous meth.
Nitromethane.
Yeah, nitromethane. Yeah, he goes, only pussies use nitromethane. It's like, oh, damn, told that bad guy off. So what I'm saying
you gotta use like high octane gasoline and nitrous oxide.
You know what people say? Well, I just like to turn my brain off for these kind of movies. If you watch Fast and Furious and X-Men Wolverines, there's no recuperating. You will be a zombie.
Your brain will start to pour out
your
nose.
Down and won't reboot.
It's like, hey, yeah, come on. It's like that makes it sound Millennium Falcon does. It just won't start back up. But Wolverine, the whole movie's got to be watched for the very end when this creature who has all their powers appears. I won't give away.
Weapon
this.
11.
Weapon 11. Yeah, this is okay. Let me just start this. The guy is like, Wolverine is Weapon X, right? Everybody knows that. And so they have this obligatory dialogue in the movie. And this guy's like, Weapon X? What's that for? And he goes, you know, X. 10. He's Weapon 10. Oh, thanks, movie. Okay, hey, now we know why he's Weapon X, because it's just 10!
Who was Weapon 9?
Here's the thing, the bad guys are trying to trick Wolverine and getting
this. So now they're the
anime.
10 men? X-Men?
Yeah, I guess that's what it stands for. But Wolverine, they want Logan, but his real name is James, to undergo this adamantium skeleton. Why? I don't know. Because he can be turned into a weapon. Except when the general says, erase his memory. By the way, he just got done saying, Bill, because of his healing factor, you cannot sedate him. He has to go through this horrible surgery wide awake, Bill.
Yeah.
But then he's like, erase his memory. I'm like, how? Shit, chemicals don't work on him, I thought. How do you erase his brain? Some kind of special machine? Except Wolverine has special dog hearing, so he hears that, and he's like, like underwater, and he escapes. He's like, by the way, before any of this happens, he's like, if we lace you with adamantium, you'll be indestructible. Nothing will be able to kill you. You'll be able to stop your evil brother. So, okay, he just said, erase his brain. And Wolverine heard it, so he freaks out and escapes. And he goes, shoot him! Kill him! It's like, aren't you the same guy who just said he'd be indestructible and you would be immortal, basically? And you're saying, oh, yeah, shoot him. Hello? Okay, later on, they're in this secret bad guy base. I'm just covering this little bit.
The secret bad guy base.
Secret bad guy base, which is Three Mile Island.
3 Mile Island, yeah.
Yeah, as Gambit says, hide it in plain sight, in his regular Tim Riggins voice. The guy's like, he's here, adamantium bullets. It's the only thing that'll kill him. He's like, all right. Shh. So it's like, oh, he's got adamantium. It's going to pierce his adamantium skull. How? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
No, but they say, the woman comes in and goes, you know that won't kill him. And he goes, yes.
But 30, like,
what?
Bill, 30 minutes have passed since that last conversation where you think he's got this gun that could kill Wolverine. Then later on in the movie, that's when the chick's like, you know that won't kill him. He's like, yeah, but it'll erase his memory. And it's like, what? How do you know that? So it's
because it'll damage his brain. It'll have to rebuild everything.
If the thing is indestructible and it won't even dent, how's a bullet even going
to
matter?
If it's going to erase his memory, why wouldn't it, like, revert him back to childhood?
Yeah.
Why would it just erase the past year?
When adamantium hits adamantium. It causes...
Amnesia.
Amnesia.
And so, basically, this is like the screenwriters are like, okay, this... So, the beginning of X-Men, if you go back and watch Bryan Singer's X-Men, that's why Wolverine doesn't know anything. He got shot with an adamantium bullet. It's like, yeah, okay. So, basically, the movie, yes, it is retarded. And the best part, Bill, is when Wolverine befriends a nice, loving old couple... who had a son that just was the same build as Wolverine because they give him clothes and a nice leather jacket.
And a bike.
And there's a scene where, you know, Wolverine just got his adamantium claws, so he goes, shing, in the mirror. And he's, like, looking at him and scratching him together. That whole scene is CGI. They didn't have prosthetics.
Yeah, it looked real, didn't it?
It looked
was amazing.
Like friggin' Roger Rabbit, okay?
Yeah, it was so bad.
He's going, ching, ching, and it's like, please, Wolvie! You know, it looked bad. Really bad.
So, like, did they? It's like they didn't even bother to, like, actually use real claws.
They did it, yeah.
And there's moments throughout the film where you can tell a new scene was created to make it better.
Yeah.
Like, this needs to have more action. Let's have him driving the bike and then turn around and the sky is completely different. The background's different. He looks different. It just doesn't fit. The movie is so disjointed.
His hair is 2 inches longer.
Yeah, it's got so many bad special effects, and
I thought was so bad. I even thought Liv Schreiber was having a good time in the movie as Sabretooth.
He was.
He's having a lot of fun.
The only saving grace was him.
He was a good bad guy, but it doesn't make any sense because he's a bad guy, but yet, you know, he's not that bad at sometimes. Yeah. Oh, wait, yes, he is again. Oh, wait, no, now he's an ally.
Yeah.
No, wait, he's a bad guy again. It's just like, come on. God,
it
sucks.
There's a line where he goes, I'm the only one that's going to kill you. And it's like, oh, okay.
There's a part for no reason where Wolverine's finally got Sabretooth. He's going to kill him. I'm going to chop your head off. For no reason, Gambit's like, woohoo, I got my stick. And he goes, and just causes like this freaking
out of nowhere. Like, what the
blast.
Hell did you do that for, douchebag?
It's like, I was just about to kill Sabretooth. It's like, I wasn't paying attention, I guess. Oh, Lord. My favorite scene,
now,
though.
And it's like, so the entire fight looked like it was on like some set. Backlot set. It was terrible.
It's like all of a sudden
this is supposed to be New Orleans, but we could only afford enough money to create an alley on a set somewhere.
It's like all of a sudden it's Sin City. Like, oh, let's just do this at Robert Rodriguez's house. It's like, dude, I don't have my Sin City shit, but I got my Spy Kids effects. And they're like, okay, we'll do that, all right?
Spy Kids had better special effects than that movie.
No shit. There's a scene in the movie where Professor X, I'm sorry, it's not a spoiler, it's just friggin' retarded, but the kids are running towards him, towards a helicopter. It's all animated, like the kids' feet aren't even touching the ground. It's the worst
shit you've ever seen.
Depth
perception to the scene
They're floating,
that's
just
hilarious.
Running. It is so bad. I was like, come on!
Somebody went, oh, we gotta have this scene where they're running towards the helicopter. Just get everyone on a green screen set and have them run. And we'll just put him in.
And the girl, Wolverine is so in love in this movie, and something horrible happens to her. But later on, he finds out something about her, and he doesn't care anymore till he hears her go, ah! And he's like, oh, shit. And so he turns around and goes,
oh, no, it's screaming woman. That's my kryptonite.
A damsel in distress. Sting. You know, he's got to do that.
CGI blades, go.
Yeah. Sing, ting, ting. And they even do the flip off with one blade again. The middle blade's like, you already did that. It's not funny. And the first X-Men, it was mildly amusing. But, oh, you're doing it again. Okay. Because you got no ideas. Hey, let's do that again.
I just hope, like, the next movie, they bring someone even more obscure that's made one decent movie to direct it.
Okay, first of all, Bill, who is the Asian guy who's really good with guns?
Agent Zero.
Agent Zero. Who's heard of him before? And friggin' Charlie from Lost, who I think is just playing Charlie from Lost.
Yeah, who can run electronics?
Yeah, he can light light bulbs and stuff.
He's playing the kid from Heroes.
Yeah. Wow. Let's just see. I really want to know what Rick thought of this.
Hey, Noah Mulberry. Last week, my voicemail sounded a bit quiet, and it had like a running commentary of Steven's breathing. Most of the time, I was just like, Steven, hold your breath. I can't hear myself. The intro to last week was like the best intro ever. I freaking laughed out loud. And then you said you weren't going to do them as much. I was like, no, they're just getting awesome. Just put a bit of effort in. I'll edit down my voicemails so you got less to do and you don't have to worry. I'll make them short. You give me a time limit and I'll make them to that time limit.
Don't worry about it, really.
So those intros, I want more of them. And I did check up to see if the Jimmy Page was the Jimmy Page that did the music. And yeah, it was. You know, I wouldn't say stuff like that unless I was sure, because you'd probably know and you'd laugh at me. So I checked up and it was. And here is my review of X-Men Origins Wolverine. Suck my balls, this movie was terrible. just like every other big movie, millions and millions of dollars get spent on them. And they're still shit. Some movies, not that much is spent on them, and they're awesome. But then these ones are supposed to be big action blockbusters, millions and millions spent, and they are shut. Friggin' Wolverine gets airsick, friggin' Ryan Reynolds can block bullets with his swords, Will.i.am is in a movie, bullshit. And when I saw Hugh Jackman with his shirt off,
he's such a beefcake.
I thought about episode 25, where Vanessa says she'll watch a movie just because Hugh Jackman's in it.
Hey, I'm going to go see Van Helsing because he's such a beefcake.
What? I laughed at you because you said beefcake. And when I saw him with his shirt off, I was thinking, beefcake.
Beefcake. Beefcake. He's such a beefcake. Beefcake.
Yeah, Yeah, that's what I was thinking of whenever he didn't have his shirt on.
Such a beefcake. I don't remember that.
These Aussies in this movie, like every freaking second person, like, oh, Aussie. Oh, it's Aussie. You know, you wouldn't know that unless you, you know, lived in Australia and watched Australian shows, but seen heaps and heaps of Aussies through it. Okay, this movie had so much green screen, and all of it was shithouse. Him driving in the car, bringing the kids at the end running towards the helicopter.
Yes, that's just
all
awful.
This pathetic green screen that just made me friggin' sick. When they spend so much money on this thing, makes me angry, really angry. This movie made me angry. All right, friggin' stupid movie. No redeeming features. Zero. Every single stunt and filled with CGI just made me friggin' even more angry. It was just done so poorly. Okay, they had slow-mo, walking away from an explosion, friggin' cliche.
God, done. I never want to see
that. Thank you, what else you got? The fat dude? Oh my god. Wolverine fighting a big fat dude. I can see the friggin' dudes in the meeting trying to work the script out. He's like, well, how about that dude from the start? He's got to go see him to get some information. But he's put on heaps of weight and he's a big fat blob. And they got to fight each other. Hilarious. Oh. And like the big exec goes, that's in. That's in the movie, man. Well done. Here's $1 million just for that idea. That's just a gold idea. Thanks, mate. Stupid. Friggin' doing the wheelie out of the exploding barn. Wah, wah, wah. Friggin' show off. Stupid. Alright, and in the start, in the opening credits, you know, the montage of all the different wars they've been in. And at one point, they're like, back to back! And they put their backs against each other so they can see people coming from both ways.
I forgot all about that.
And they fight, and yeah, back to back! I was only going to mention it because I've played Army of Two.
Yes.
It's in Army of Two, and me and my mate used to just say it all the time, just walking down the street, back and back.
So did we, Bill.
Yeah,
we did.
And then I saw it in this movie, and it was just gay. And then they did it later on in the movie. I was like, oh, come on. This is the first time they've used it in the movie, besides a little clip in the opening credits. And I was thinking, this is old already. The hell? How can this movie seem old the first time you watch it? This movie's just a friggin' joke. Friggin' hated it. So I give this movie 1 star. That's it. Because I hated it. With passion. I would rather try to swallow a box of thumbtacks while someone's punching me in the throat.
Good
it was
God.
So painful. Shit. Okay, I didn't watch this movie drunk, so that might have been my problem. Freaking from now on, I'm watching the movies drunk. This was Rick. Rick from Australia. Wolverine sucks. Dick.
Back to back.
Wow, I'm thinking Rick really didn't like the movie.
I told you, it's so painful.
Punched in the throat while
swallowing. It's one of those movies that you watch and then go, how in the hell did this not just get completely scrapped? You know, cut your losses.
That's well. The sad thing is that it got released in theaters, and then it made a lot of money. And then after watching that Deadpool shit at the end, I was laughing. Oh. Like I said, it looked like Mortal Kombat, the original arcade game. That's
you know
what
what's funny
like.
Is if you watched the first version, I saw the one that they said was incomplete. It's basically the exact same.
Right.
I mean, the unfinished effects look no better than they do finished.
Well, that's what I wondered, like, after that horrible scene with Deadpool at the end, it was just laughable that people were actually excited about a Deadpool movie that's been announced. Like, we're going to make that, spin that off into a movie. It's like, awesome, I really want to see more shitty movie.
Yeah,
awesome.
Please, give us more Ryan Reynolds.
Give us some more shit. Awesome.
If there's one person who has overstayed his welcome, it's Ryan Reynolds.
When I saw Ryan Reynolds was cast as Green Lantern, I was just kind of like, ugh.
Yeah.
Because I've just had enough of him. Here's my problem with Ryan Reynolds, is he's Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
He's always Ryan Reynolds.
They might as well have cast Michael Cena, because he's always Michael Cena.
Wait, who's that?
The kid from
Superbad.
Oh, Michael Cera.
Sarah.
Or Sarah.
Sorry,
whatever.
I really didn't know who you were talking about.
I knew who
about.
You were mad.
Same thing. Who cares?
But exactly. There's those guys who are the exact same people in every movie. And Ryan Reynolds,
fits for some things and it doesn't fit for everything.
Remember how shitty Blade 3 was? He had some funny lines in there. It doesn't mean I want to see him in a movie. He's a Van Wilder, funny movie, okay? But he should not be
Dog
Green Lantern.
Dog has locked balls.
But you know what? I'm going to say this. Maybe, you know, I'll see Green Lantern or footage of it. If it's as good as that Nathan Fillion fan trailer, maybe I'll go see it.
That was the best.
Awesome. All right, guys, let's check out Entertainment! A couple of movies have come out today.
You know what, though? The next Wolverine movie needs tandem skydiving.
Yeah, back to back. One guy's going to skydive. Okay, Bill, Pandorum has come out, which I think they've really advertised a lot. I see it during every commercial break. Even during the Colony commercial breaks, they go, now, a sneak of Pandorum. And it's like,
I think
ooh.
I've seen more sneaks of Pandorum or enough to know what the movie is.
But also, Bruce Willis's The Surrogates came out, and also Fame came out. All these movies at the same time.
What about
time.
Where the Wild Things?
That hasn't come out yet.
It hasn't? I thought it was this weekend.
No, I don't think so. No, when does Zombieland come out?
I think that's this week.
Maybe it's Halloween weekend. You know what I think is funny about also Halloween came out, and they don't release Halloween during Halloween. They release it in August, and it was a flop, which I think is awesome. It's hilarious because I'm sure it sucked ass. But The Surrogates, it looks maybe mildly interesting from a sci-fi angle, but it doesn't look good to me at all. I mean,
I have the 5-issue comic book, The Surrogates, that it was based on.
Sweet. Is it cool? I mean, a cool premise?
Yeah, it is. It's a cool book.
Now, what about, is Pandorum a comic book too, or is that just...
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Yeah, but I've read the book of The Surrogates, and it's actually pretty good, but I don't, you know, I'm not sure about the movie just because it was directed by Jonathan Mostow. And
yes, Jonathan Terminator 3 Mostow. Jonathan
U571 Mostow.
Yes. Hey, the guy can do loud surround mixing.
Yeah, exactly. He does a great job with depth charges.
Right. Well, I guess it's whoever's doing the sound does a good job with it.
Yeah, he didn't do the sound.
Yeah, it's like he just sent it to the place. But last weekend, I went with my wife and daughter to see Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs, and I thought it was awesome. I thought
was it delicious?
It was hilarious. I thought it was a lot of fun. Fun for the whole family, as they say, but I was laughing my ass off at it. Like, I gotta honestly tell you, sometimes it's such a pain in the ass getting to the theater and everything that I was actually in a pretty bad mood when we got there. I was actually just kind of sitting slumped and kind of sulking, kind of like, you know? And the movie started, and automatically I was just laughing my ass off. Because I gotta tell you, this I have this story that I always want to do called Laughing Boy, and I swear, it's like I just watched somebody else make it. Because the main character is like this wannabe inventor scientist, and he has his own lab, except his lab has a lot of drawings and stuff, of scanners and stuff, and he wants it to be like that so much that he does the sound effects himself, like retina scans, and he's like doing stuff like that. It's not actually there. He's like making the
he's
sounds. And I loved all of that. I thought it was hilarious, and it's a lot of fun, and I can't wait to see it on Blu-ray because it did look awesome in claymation, I think, is what they do those movies in right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Claymation. It's all claymation.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a trailer to The Fantastic Mr. Fox. And I'd never heard of it before. And as I was watching it, I was like, this is a Wes Anderson movie. It's an animated film.
Yep.
And, you know, I had to come home and look on IMDb, and sure enough, it is. But the shots, the established shots are Wes Anderson. It's animated. It's so cool looking, man.
Yeah, I love the original story by Roald Dahl. It's just classic.
I'd never heard of it before.
And this, it just looks so much like the illustrations in the book. Like, I'm really, really looking forward to it. I love the stop animation style, and it just seems cool.
And, you know, I read that Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs is like a famous kid's book, too, and I'd never heard of that either.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
I was looking around for it. I figured it would be on, like, shelves right now at
everywhere,
the bookstore.
Yeah.
I couldn't find it anywhere. It was driving me nuts, but that's awesome. I can't wait to see that. And I'm still on the shelf with Zombieland. I don't know. Maybe.
You know what? I'm sure it's going to be entertaining, but I hate fast zombies.
Honestly,
I see that commercial and I get upset. Like, zombies aren't fast. Stop it with the fast zombies. Just stop it.
Well, I mean, I can accept it if that's what the movie is. Okay, they're going to do a fast zombie movie. All I want is for it to be, I can't tell. It's a comedy, right? It's just a silly zombie.
Yeah, it's just
comedy.
A silly comedy.
So if it's entertained me, okay. If I see some pretty decent reviews, I guess.
I guess the name of it alone just kind of
makes you not want to watch.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not a lot of movies lately. I see the trailers. I'm not sold on the movie. Like, oh, I'm going to see that. I guess Avatar was, but
I mean, if they had done some other name other than Zombieland,
District 9, I was sold. I was like, I gotta see
that. Yeah, the first District 9 trailer I saw, I was like, holy crap!
There's this annoying bastard when we saw District 9 when the Zombieland trailer came on. He was like, oh yeah, like what? Oh. Yeah, come on!
There's always one of those guys whenever you go to the theater.
Oh shit, guys, this is the friggin' trailer I told you guys about. I'm acting like I'm not even in the theater, and there's other people here.
Look at these zombies, man!
Yeah, it's like, dude,
they're
other
fast
people
and awesome.
Yeah,
so
zombies
you don't use
fast.
You don't use the Z word.
But I mean, why does this dipshit need to announce to everyone that he's really?
Like anybody else in the theater, cannot see this trailer.
He's entertaining
because
his two
buddies. Because he's an attention whore.
Yeah, he's entertaining his two buddies who he doesn't realize hates him. Guys, go and shut up.
So obnoxious, shut up,
not,
man.
This is the last movie I'm seeing with this jackass.
Yeah, he's the only one who has a car. That's the only reason. All right, guys, let's check out what's on our TiVos.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
All right, Luke. Well, you go do that, and we're going to talk about Pee-wee Herman on The Leno Show. As you guys know, the Jay Leno Show started.
Ugh.
I haven't given it much attention, I got to be honest.
It's so bad.
But I saw that Pee-wee Herman was on Leno, you know, fully in character, Paul Reubens. And I watched some of that, and I was kind of in shock of how much... He shouldn't do Pee-wee anymore because he looks too aged.
Old. Yeah, Pee-wee's supposed to be kind of like a retarded youth, and
it was disturbing to me. But also, what did you guys watch this? What was with the cooking segment?
I don't know. It was a train wreck.
But yeah. That's been every episode of the Jay Leno Show.
I just don't get it. But let's go ahead and check this clip out. It's not a long clip, and it doesn't make any sense. But it's Pee-wee Herman, so let's check it out.
Been a long time. What's new? Whoa, let me see. Oh, you got married.
Oh, no. I didn't get married. It's my abstinence ring.
Abstinence ring. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm only 2 days into it.
Wow, okay.
Well, not easy. French fries that we made already. They're already cut. Ready?
Okay.
Step back so we don't get splattered.
Okay.
Ow! Ow! And here's a couple French fries.
All right, I'll try.
Ah! Oh! Sorry! That's why they have this bowl here, I guess.
Oh, baby, those are fantastic.
Little ketchup?
Thank you very much.
Have you heard any, like, longer uncomfortable silences in a bit before?
Where was the Amazing Larry?
I know! What the hell?
Is this something you could share with the rest of us, Amazing Larry?
But it was just kind of.
I guess he's doing some sort of Broadway show or something. Or
I mean, more power to him. He's Pee Wee again, but that just segment was really. I don't understand what the significance was of that.
Why? What's the significance?
Sorry.
I don't know.
I don't know what the significance of the Jay Leno show is. It's like, okay, let's basically give Conan O'Brien the high hard one by coming on an hour before him for an hour. I'm going to do the same show I did, but I'm going to eliminate the desk. So we just kind of sit face
to face. It's not the same show, guys. There's no desk. It's not the same show, right?
Yeah, and he comes out and he's like high-fiving everybody. And she's like, you're such an asshole.
Yep, he employs a bunch of comedians or whatever.
Don't ask me why, but it just seems worse than the Jay Leno show.
When he was
on the Tonight Show.
Yeah, I agree. It's just kind of odd.
It seems forced and...
And, you know, I'm kind of pissed because basically on NBC, there are some shows that came on in that time slot, like Life, that they got rid of.
Yeah.
That were much more entertaining than this bullshit. You know what I'm saying?
Now, every night we have to deal with this douchebag at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly.
But for how long?
Yeah, I don't know. But that's...
Well, you know what? From what I'm reading, he's getting decent ratings. People are just so stupid that they... tune in for no reason.
Well, see, you know, we know that the elderly like it, and now they can go to bed even earlier because it comes on early. I can go to bed earlier now. Oh, my arthritis is killing me.
NBC finally figured it out.
My mom gave it to me.
Do what?
Can you speak bocce?
No, I can't. Okay, yeah. Bill, let's talk about Tool Academy, guys. Tool Academy, we all know, is one of the signs of the apocalypse approaching. That big horn is going to sound or whatever. But still, we got to be entertained by such douchebaggery, right?
Right.
Now, basically what's going on this week, Stephen, is the lovely English woman has them look into a mirror and talk about your insecurities.
And you know what? I'd do her. She was looking hot this week.
Our favorite guy, Angry John, he is very insecure.
I'm so angry.
He didn't want to have anything to do with it. And did you notice, Bill? I noticed some things were filmed out of sequence here because later on they show him put a cigarette out on his forehead. But during these earlier scenes, he had a red dot on his forehead. I was like, what is going on up there? Does he have a blemish or something? No, he has a friggin' scar from when
he became Hindi.
Yeah, he burnt a... He was like... and puts a cigarette out on his head. It's like, that's cool, dude. Awesome. You've just impressed...
You're so hardcore.
Yeah, you've impressed all of us. He's a really charming guy, Bill.
Why didn't you put it out
on your charming,
tongue?
Bitches.
He's very charming. So let's go...
He is Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes. I love it.
I'm charming, bitches.
No, listen to this. He's supposed to stand in front of the mirror and talk about what he doesn't like about himself. Instead, he turns around and looks at his girlfriend and tells him what he doesn't like about her. Let's check it out. I don't think he got the point of the whole thing.
No.
What are we doing with this mirror?
I'm sure you've all spent plenty of time standing in front of one of these. So today, instead of using it to primp and preen, I want you to have an honest conversation with yourself, and I expect you all to drop your egos and tell us what you really see when you look in the mirror. John, would you like to go?
No disrespect, but you're out of your mind if you think I'm going to stand in front of a mirror in my mindset I'm in right now.
If you don't want to look in the mirror, do you want to stand up and take your time?
The reason I go to the gym, the reason I tan, the reason I take care of myself is because I'm insecure. I was a skinny, pale kid in high school. I've done nothing but work on my body. I do nothing but reassure her how beautiful she is.
Out of nowhere, John was like, so pissed. Don't know what he is so upset about.
And she calls me fat. She was a cheerleader in high school. Do you guys think I felt comfortable being a cheerleader?
No.
2, 4, 6, 8. Who do I appreciate?
I love his voice. Yeah.
And that's why you call me fat.
I didn't mean fat like
yes,
fat.
Yes, you did.
Pretty
yes,
hard.
You pointed out my
PHAT fat.
Down like that.
And that, in turn, is making you feel insecure. Is that what you're trying to say? In a way? Everything's making
you... Heartless, you're emotionless, you show me no compassion.
I felt hurt, embarrassed. I didn't know that I was hurting John that much.
Called me a bitch and told me...
After I said John...
Stop and listen for once!
Oh, my God.
The world doesn't revolve around you. Stop and listen, please. I've never felt so bad about myself in my entire life. You mean nothing to me. You've destroyed me emotionally. I hate you. You destroyed me. You're nothing to me. You're worthless.
Wow. Wow. And then he storms off and he calms himself.
Way to turn your insecurities around on someone else, man. That guy's a genius.
There was another guy who's like, he stands up there and he's like, you know, I tried to put up with the women, the men slobbering all over my girlfriend when she's dancing, and I just can't take it no more. And this other guy's like, my girlfriend's a stripper too. I don't like it either. And they're like, goo goo. You know, it's just like so pathetic. She's like, I'm a stripper, and apparently he blames me for all of his insecurities. He's like, well, yeah, there's guys. They're all over you, and blah. It's just like pathetic.
it's bad. This week in particular was pretty painful.
And that girl, who's my favorite, by the way, because of the slap. it was J-Daddy. That's who it was, kicked off this week, Bill. And
yeah, see, I'm sorry. He was just a tool.
Because he blamed her for all of his insecurities because she's a stripper. And you know that's just...
Man, she's got that hot, like, school teacher look.
Yeah, she's got glasses. She looks kind of nerdy, but she's really a... what would you call a... She's a dancer. She's
a well-built woman?
A dancer.
She's a gentleman.
She's an exotic dancer.
Yes, that's it. That's exactly what it is.
All right.
Huh? Oh. But, yeah, I'm going to miss her and J-Daddy because he was awesome. But at least we still got Big Angry John there, right, Bill?
Yeah, he's charming.
Oh, my God. That guy is so angry.
Was that from the first episode?
Yeah.
Throwing everything?
Yeah, I love that guy.
Hulk smash!
Listen for once!
Oh, my God. John, I just want you to know we all like you, okay?
You mean nothing to me. You've destroyed me emotionally. I hate you.
Oh, okay. He doesn't like us. But, yeah, we'll see what happens next week on Tool Academy. But now I want to talk about, and, you know, I want to briefly talk about this. Because we've given this show so much leeway. We've given them a lot of slack on the rope, right, Steven? Mm-hmm. We're lowering them down in the hole, and we're like, okay, you know. It's a show called Heroes, Steven. And they had a two-hour premiere to get their shit back in order, right, Bill? 2 hours. Mm.
You know, instead, they decided to go to the carnival.
Yeah. There's some kind of magic carnival going on here, Steven.
Beautiful.
With, what did you call it, Bill? A Lance Henriksen wannabe with the soul patch?
Yeah, I saw the guy and I was like, wait a second. Is he supposed to be Lance Henriksen?
Lance Henriksen wasn't available, so they got this guy.
He got his stand-in.
This is Chance Henriksen, his cousin.
Chance!
And I don't know, they need a compass of some kind. But also we have Ray Park.
I thought it was Basket Case fully grown.
We have Darth Maul.
My brother!
Darth Maul on the show. Ray Park. Hey, I have nothing but the greatest respect for Darth Maul. Or, I mean, for Ray Park. He did Ghostbusters. Great song. And he's also an awesome
athlete.
Yeah,
I think that was his high point.
Yeah. So, you know, I know he was great as the Toad in X-Men, right? Aren't you people gonna die? Or whatever he says. He gets fried like a toad, struck by lightning, whatever. So I don't know where I'm going with this. I can't stop talking. So anyway, Ray Park, he's great. Except when he took the part in Heroes, you know, people love him at comic conventions. He's sick of signing the Darth Maul shit, okay? He needs to have something else to autograph.
Yeah.
So did he know they were going to speed him up with awesome effects with knives?
I was waiting for him to go, that's not a knife. This is a knife.
I got to admit, though, Bill, Heroes effects are as good as X-Men Origins Wolverine.
They're better. They are actually better.
The liquid effects on Tracy, awesome. You know?
At least the effects match the backgrounds.
So these guys are after this compass. A compass to look at directions, I guess.
The golden compass.
Right. And it does something. And HRG Noah enlists the help of Peter Petrelli, who's now a paramedic again, and he needs his powers to help rescue people. One thing I wanted to talk about is that, remember, in the season finale, Steven, Peter had all of Siler's powers, remember? Mm-hmm. He could shapeshift, he could fly, badass. Except he can't quite get to victims in time. So when Noah's like, there's a speedster, this guy, it's Darth Maul, but he's super fast.
But couldn't he fly?
Yeah, he could fly. Well, and Peter's like
Daphne's ability to run real fast.
It's different. He's like can do karate real fast. It's really a stupid idea, basically.
So it's like a full motor function.
It's like skill. Okay. It's kind of like Neo in the Matrix when he starts, you know, going or whatever. So anyway, Peter's like, hey, I can rescue people faster with that power. So here's my question. Isn't his power, he can only get one ability per touch, basically, kind of like Rogue,
yeah,
until he touches someone else? So why would he trade all of Sire's ability for one karate real fast
Because
ability?
He's an idiot?
Okay. That's what I was thinking, too. So, and he actually goes to save HR
Does he forget that he can't save anybody after he has the ability?
I don't know, but what...
And that he's no longer invulnerable?
I'm wondering if he can just have all powers now, and the writers just kind of forgot last season's rules or whatever. They just make up as they go along. And I thought it was funny they brought back Zeljko or whatever his name is.
I guess if he has Siler's ability is to be able to absorb other abilities.
I guess, but it still seems kind of like they're just making shit up as they go. Oh, yeah.
I know. That's. I was just trying to make an excuse for him.
Yeah,
but.
I know. We give him a lot of leeway. And another thing is with Hiro and Ando. They've got their hero for hire business, Bill. Wasn't this very clever and funny where they saved the cat?
It was so charming, I almost vomited all over myself.
Right. And another thing is they keep talking about, remember when we went to the carnival when we were kids? It's like, shut up! Yeah, because the carnival people at the beginning? You're telling me traveling carnival goes to Japan, too? Where's their friggin' Learjet where they fly their carnival shit?
So they flew from Japan to, like, Kansas?
I don't know. They have a traveling jumbo jet airliner, or some guy has teleporting powers.
Or it's one of those crappy boats.
Will I am teleported their asses to Japan.
I knew it.
That's what it is.
They kind of turn into those crappy boats, or their little wagons and stuff, and they float across the ocean.
I just don't get it, man. So
I love the whole storyline that Hiro's sister hated Ando because Hiro made Ando throw his blueberry squidgy on
his
Hiro's
slushy
sister.
Surprised they didn't say slusho.
Come on, dude. Well, you know what? The Abrams group probably doesn't want anything to do with Heroes anymore.
Because there was that one season where Kristen Bell had a slusho. Do you remember that? And it was like, huh? So anyway, the best storyline, though, in the whole show was Claire.
Parkman?
No, that was worse.
The Matt Parkman stuff, I'm just going to pretend didn't happen.
She's like, Nathan, he's slowly changing back into Siler. He's going to figure out who he is. I'm going to call Matt Parkman. Yeah, you need to do a little,
a little brain rearranging.
A touch-up job.
Yeah, touch-up. You need to give him a lube job, if you know what I'm saying. He's like, I can't do that. I'm going to just complain and disagree with you, because that's what my character does all the time. I'm changing my life. I've got a kid now. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, cut to the next scene. And it's Claire at college. Hey! She's got an annoying roommate.
How did she ever graduate from high school skipping out on high school?
I want to ask you guys this. How many times were the words Guitar Hero mentioned in this episode of Heroes?
I think the Guitar Hero paid for a ad space within the show.
Don't they know that the cool thing now is Beatles Rock Band? Couldn't they have said
Rock
that?
Yeah, Rock Band kicks Guitar Hero's ass.
She should have said, I'm so good at Beatles Rock Band, now in stores, turns to the camera and looks at
Weeks.
It. Yeah.
Go to your local Best Buy Fry's.
Stay tuned for this.
You can buy the classic one with their drum head.
Yeah. So I just want to check out the scene. Okay, Californication, which comes back Sunday, has this one actress on it who annoys the shit out of me.
Madeline Zima.
Because her character is supposed to be this little bitchy teenager who steals Hank Moody's book. I mean, just friggin' outright steals his novel, which just annoys the shit out of me. Just the idea of stealing someone's work. Mm-hmm. So
we've been ripped off so many times.
Yes, by the Fox Network especially. Yes. So now here we have her on Heroes. What the hell is she doing here? And she's Claire's buddy, and she's palling around with her. Then all of a sudden, Claire's bookish roommate dies, right? In this scene, she's not dead, but then it cuts to after she's murdered, dead. And the police are questioning Claire. Let's check it out, and it's awesome. I've set it up way too much.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm sorry if I freaked you out with that whole murder at Union Wells thing. I just, it was so scandalous and I got excited.
No, don't apologize. It was just weird talking about it because I was never allowed to talk about it before.
So what, you pretended like it didn't happen?
No, I just kept trying to start my life over and I thought I could take what I liked about who I was and
compelling.
All the other stuff behind.
It's really good.
Yeah!
Here's a friend.
How you play Guitar Hero.
Oh.
Claire! Hey, come on over here! You and me! You have been served! Come on!
Who is she? She's horrible. She's been hugging me all night.
That would be my roommate.
Come on, we're up!
Now, wait, I just want to slip this in here. When Claire and the girl from Californication are playing Guitar Hero for the first time, I know what the producers are really doing. It's their first time playing Guitar Hero together. College, hello. This scene has nothing to do with Guitar Hero. This has to do with first lesbian experience. Just listen to the sound of them playing this. I'm not reading too much into this. This is exactly what they're doing. Tell me I'm wrong. Check this out.
Does Gretchen know how to play?
No, but Gretchen doesn't care.
Your opponent's supposed to raise your game, not lower it. Well, since neither one of us know what we're doing, we'll be uneven playing field.
Uh-huh.
This is going to be really bad.
No, it's not.
Where did my fingers go?
Oh, I got one.
No. Should I use two or three fingers?
Get the strum in.
Uh-oh. I hate this music
on here. Did your roommate express any suicidal thoughts? Feelings of being overwhelmed? Low self-esteem?
No. No, if anything, she had too much self-esteem. She was an overachiever. She loved herself.
That's not the impression she left in her suicide note.
Self-love?
What suicide note?
This was on her pillow.
What?
No, it wasn't. It
may have been something you overlooked.
No, I distinctly remember being impressed with how crisp her pillowcase was and that there wasn't a suicide note.
Yeah, that's believable.
It wasn't there.
You said she was an overachiever?
Look, even an overachiever can't write a suicide note after she's dead. She wouldn't do this. She was just beating the entire floor's butt at Guitar Hero. This was not a suicide.
What definitely then? Sponsored by Guitar Hero
murder?
This week.
Why would someone
not a suicide sponsored by
know.
Guitar Hero?
Isn't that your job?
Yep.
Suicide
sure is.
Solution by Ozzy on Guitar Hero.
So, okay. we all know that the girl from Californication killed her roommate, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
And at the end she's like decides, oh, there's one part where the girl says, you know, I learned that. It was the name of the episode. I can't remember. There's Fall Push or something. And Claire figures out that if she just falls and tries to land in the same spot, she'll know if she's either pushed or she fell or she was murdered or whatever. I don't know, Bill.
Well, maybe she was dead before they even dropped her out the window.
Or
right, yeah. And the girl goes, you know what? It's something I saw on this show called Crossing Jordan.
Tim, you know what? Mr. Kring, suck my balls.
Mr. Kring. Mr. Kring, you're not clever. No one cares about your stupid show, okay?
Oh, man.
sorry. I don't know.
Jordan's over.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
And do you guys like how...
Yeah, and there's a reason why it was over, and this one's about to join it after this season.
Nathan is... Siler, so they can't have Siler on the show, so Matt Parkman sees Siler. Hey, I'm in your brain.
And he's going crazy.
Like, what's
because
the matter,
of it?
Matt? You going a little nuts? He's like, oh, shut up. Get out of my head. Oh! It's like, no, thank
you. Didn't you love the whole jealousy angle with the handyman?
Hey, is your wife boinking somebody at home? What are you talking about? Once a cheater, always a cheater, Matt. He's like, damn it. So he goes home, and this guy's like, I hope your cable works.
He's like, I just laid some pipe for your wife.
It's like, wait, I thought you were the cable guy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, what?
I just installed DSL. Matt Parkman.
It's like, no, get out of here. Ah, I'm so confused. Silence in my head. Not interesting. Hello. So we'll check out and see what happens next week.
But still, I mean, come on. The whole carnival stuff is just classic.
I can't. Oh, okay. This is the part where, I mean, literally out loud groan like this, Steven. I'm not kidding. There's a girl with tattoos all over her.
Yes.
Guess what her name is, Steven?
I don't even want to guess.
Lydia. The tattooed wow. lady.
Yes, Lance Hendrickson wannabe can put ink oh. on a stick, press it into her back, and it makes really bad CGI pictures.
Just hurt my head with that.
Oh, God.
And then she can tell him what or who they are.
Her tattoos move around on her?
Yeah, the guy injects ink and it forms the future or whatever, whoever they're supposed to look for. Wow. How does that make you feel, Steven?
I've never felt so bad about myself in my entire life.
Exactly. I feel the same way, Angry John, okay?
2, 4, 6, 8. Who do I appreciate?
I don't know. Guys, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about Hell's Kitchen, a show that is awesome. I'll have some Robot Dave in a second, everybody.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
Sega challenges you with Afterburner, a game so exciting you can imagine you're in for the fight of your life. Game and accessories sold separately.
Get ready.
Afterburner gives you the real dogfight excitement of the arcade version.
Yeah.
Like barrel rolls, nosedives, supersonic speed, and radar lock-ons.
Your turn to burn. Let's take it home.
Afterburner. Only on the Sega system. Sega. The challenge will always be there.
Watch out for the Red Hot Thundercats.
They're on our way.
Those amazing superheroes are soaring into great new Thunder adventures.
Thundercats! Oh!
They'll have their hands full battling Mumra and his miserable mutants.
We'll see about that.
Can Lion-O and his brave friends put an end to these dangerous demons?
There's only one way to find out.
And that's to watch the incredible Thundercats.
I'm off with Cosmic to a land far away.
Look, Ronald, we're going to the Milky Way.
It's different from home. It hardly looks real.
Ah.
Why, here you have to fly through McDonald's to get a Happy Meal.
3, 2, 1.
When you buy a McDonald's Happy Meal,
let's go!
You can get either Crayola crayons, chalk, paints, or markers, each with a different Cosmic coloring sheet.
Orbiting the moon.
Cosmic Crayola Happy Meal. You can collect all 5.
Never gone this way before.
How do you know, Drew?
Because I remember that face anywhere.
Yikes! We better power up with the Cheerios breakfast.
A balanced breakfast like this one.
You got go with Cheerios. You go, go, power, power, go. You got to go and it really shows. You go, go, power of Cheerios. You'll feel your Cheerios.
It's the most outrageous half hour of fun, fame, and fashion on television. Jem, catch all the glamour, excitement, and rock and romance. Join Jem, Rio, and all the gang as they travel the world on a rock and roll adventure.
I'll be looking for you.
Come on, come on, and be a Jem girl, Jem. Jem is my name, Jem.
On the loose again.
How sweet.
Who can stop their venomous snake attack?
G.I. Joe!
G.I. Joe. Truth. Justice. A real American hero. G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe!
Fun to eat. Real apples make it apple-y sweet.
The apple-y sweet part of a complete breakfast.
Apple-y sweet rock and roll.
The bottom of the bowl.
Hello, Applejack.
Wouldn't a free 5-ounce Dairy Queen dipped cone taste good right now? The coupons on specially marked boxes of Apple Jacks. Imagine chocolate, butterscotch, and free.
Mmm.
Get packed for an expedition.
He's the original million-dollar duck who's always ready for any type of danger.
Make my day.
Fasten your seatbelts as Uncle Scrooge and company take you on the adventure of a lifetime.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Get ready for non-stop action and excitement.
Amazing.
Catch it all on Disney's DuckTales.
Marshmallow Krispies, lots of fruity marshmallow shapes. It you snap, crackle, pop in over lots of fruit taste.
Wow!
Fruity marshmallow Krispies, orange, lemon, raspberry, grape. It snap, crackle, and pop in with lots of fruit taste.
Kellogg's Fruity Marshmallow Krispies, part of this complete breakfast.
Mmm, how fruity!
Fruity marshmallow Krispies, you'll be snap, crackle, pop in over lots of fruit taste.
Sold separately. New from high school.
Michael, lunch in 5 seconds.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Time to catch your lunch, Michael.
Space dogs, 11 o'clock. Look out, flying fries.
Got him.
Michael, the ring fighters.
No problem.
The galactic battle burger.
Michael?
Well, then, I'm...
Someone tried to bite a Chips Ahoy cookie without biting a chip, but the chips were stacked against him.
Original, chewy, and striped Chips Ahoy. Meant you bite a chip?
I confess, I did it.
Oh, 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 big stuff twister, big stuff cruncher, it's Oreo action, big stuff muncher.
Watch
a big stuff action with
O-R-E-O. It's cool. It's me, a sparkling treat. You've never seen anything like this.
Hey, we sparkle. We're new sparkle crack for kids. We taste cool and we sparkle. Let me show you the way. Give us a try and we'll sparkle up your day. Now you love to brush your teeth before you go to school.
You can smush them, you can mush them, you can push them, you can squish them, you can't stop. Smush. Trade a smushies with a friend, the surprises never end, you can't stop. Smush. It's a smushy sensation and it's sweeping the nation, you can't stop. Smush. Everybody smush.
Your smushies.
Everybody smush.
Your smushies.
Smushies don't stop.
I'm gonna have me some fun. I'm gonna have me some fun. I'm gonna have me some fun.
I'm gonna
have me some fun. I'm gonna have me some fun. I'm gonna have me some fun. I'm gonna have me some fun.
I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
I thought you left for that a while back, Luke. Jesus.
You know, Luke sounds an awful lot like Anakin there.
Yeah, he does.
R2 unit has a bad motivator. Look.
He's always like...
Why don't you bitch and moan a little bit more there, Luke?
Awesome.
Ow! Ow!
All right, guys. Hell's Kitchen. Hell's a poppin' kitchen.
Hell's yeah.
That's what they should change it to. You know what? I actually got excited when I saw that it was a two-hour one, because last week there was no Hell's Kitchen. No Hell's Kitchen last week. This week, 2 hours. And guess what? I can't remember any of the first hour.
Yeah, neither can I.
The blonde chick was let go. Mm-hmm. And that's
who
about
thought
all.
She was attractive for some reason.
Oh, didn't they do the thing where... Though the one thing I really like where they do is Gordon Ramsay... He makes the meal, and they taste it, and he's like, I want you to make this just from taste mm-hmm. and by appearance. And they did that, and that was pretty neat or whatever. Passion fruit. I remember that word in there.
Well, they had to make.
it was the sauce.
Right.
Was passion fruit.
We'll say the first one was they had to make that dinner.
For the Olympic people, Olympians.
Yeah.
And I love that. The Tennille didn't have it right. She thought it was lamb, right?
Yeah. It was venison.
Yeah, she was
it
like.
It was obviously venison.
She was like, it's venison. Why did that? Ariel and Tennille, they won't even listen to her. So she's like, oh. And she's like, yeah, we have here lamb. He's like, what? I mean, I like how she's kind of like, well, do you know
what?
Do you know what this is? She's like, well, you know, well, it's just I forgot.
We've been dealing with lamb all week, and so I
like, do you like how she talked herself out of it? Oh, wow. Yeah, it's venison. Oh, I'm sorry, I just got kind of messed up. It's like, yeah, right. Right. So anyway, whatever about that. Now, what happened on the second episode, I remember a little bit more, right? And I just remember that Suzanne and Dave the Robot, they won the quick fire competition. Am I right?
The quick fire.
Let's go ahead and call it the quick fire, right?
The challenge, yes.
Now, let me. No. It wasn't close. I was saying, what were the similarities to Top Chef? They did kind of deconstruct Gordon Ramsay's meal, but they didn't make it into something else, right? They just figured out what it was.
Yeah.
So, they had to recreate.
Yeah. So they go to visit Christina, who is, I remember she was her versus Petroza. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And I think that he made a good choice there. And obviously she's still working with him unless she just drove up for this episode of the show, Bill. I think it's funny is Suzanne, as she's talking with her, is like, yeah, you and I are on the same level. We have so much in common. She won't even let her talk. She keeps finishing her sentences. It's really funny and annoying.
You had the know-it-all on yours episode two, weren't you?
Yeah, like they're equals. It's just funny how she's like, oh, yeah, I know. She is basically.
Yeah, I didn't understand how all of a sudden she was the know-it-all this season.
And Christina has nothing she can tell her because she already knows, right?
She thinks she's the know-it-all. She keeps getting everything wrong.
The best part is when Dave's like, I want to hear from her. You know, like, you keep talking, I want to hear from her. You know, let's go ahead and check this out. It's awesome.
This is Christina.
Hey. Well,
good to see you, darling.
Nice to see you.
This is Dave and Suzanne, and they've got a few questions. Enjoy your lunch.
All right.
Chef Ramsay hooked us up today with a really nice reward.
All right, number one question. Were you like the know-it-all on your season?
Yeah. Be true to yourself.
Right.
Sometimes people just want
my way or the highway.
Christina and I could be very similar. And the more questions I ask her, the more I can draw from her for myself.
I'm a team player. Mm-hmm. Now that we are in the black jacket, Now it's time to, like, turn that off.
Well, don't turn it off.
I want to hear it from her. Suzanne keeps chiming in, and I'm not even hearing it.
From now on in, you need to be focusing on thinking ahead and how he's going to throw a wrench in there.
Yep.
Because it's Hell's Kitchen for a reason.
Just shut up.
I can see myself winning Hell's Kitchen like Christina did, definitely.
Thanks, Mary.
Lovely to meet you, Bo.
Nice to meet you, Christina.
It was great.
Here's to meeting Christina in Hell's Kitchen.
Except from Suzanne.
Salud.
When
you come back from the Lord, everybody's gunning for you, so I'm focusing on tonight's service.
Luckily,
so happy to be back in the kitchen. I'm happy to do any project. Can I help anybody? Nothing.
Wow. Do you like how whenever somebody returns, everyone's like, gives them the cold shoulder? So funny. So pathetic.
I'm happy to do any project.
I will do any project for you guys. Now, okay, should we go ahead and talk about it? I have a clip here, and it's got Van's implosion, and it also has, it was really shocking because Gordon Ramsay has never done this in the history of Hell's Kitchen. Don't count last season when he just shut the whole restaurant down and closed it for good. Like, we're closing. Oh, how dare you snatch my dream from me? Remember that? Yeah. That had never happened. This year, though, is different. Because Gordon Ramsay leaves everybody there, but he's He's leaving.
And he takes Scott with
him. He takes Chef Scott with him.
And yeah. He's like, Scott, come on.
They're just walking. He's like, I don't believe it. I can't. He's like, yeah, it's not worth it, man. And they're just walking.
I can't believe I just did this.
It's like, Gordon, do you own a car? Where are you walking to? Are you just walking down
the... I'm walking to the back of the parking lot, and I'll turn around and walk back.
I'm going to walk down Sepulveda.
To Memphis.
I'm walking down Hollywood and Vaughn, get myself a hookah. I don't know. It's a really bad accent.
Ramsey's Australian.
Crackle. Yeah. So anyway,
I'm Scottish.
So they're like, "Oh my god!" My favorite part is Jean-Philippe. He's like, "What's going on? Are they coming back?" Like he's like, "Oh, come on! You're a horrible actor." I'm like, "What are we going to do?
You know, the shtick."
Yeah. So they're like, oh my god, what's going on? We need to just keep going. We need to keep going, guys. And it's just like, maybe this is a test of something. Oh, you think? So let's go ahead and check this out. But the best part was Vandy just like, man, I can't freaking focus. Just getting so angry at himself. It cracked me up.
I'm most concerned about making sure all my fish is properly cooked tonight. Not getting behind.
So you started to steal that sea bass. Come here, quickly, leave it there. So you're searing the sea bass?
It's thick.
Listen to me!
Yes, Chef.
But we haven't even sent the appetizers.
Here we go again. New night.
Hey, I'm watching you like a whore. I'm eagle over you.
I understand.
What's on ye? Let's go.
Coming up, Chef.
Shut up.
Coming right now, Chef.
My God.
Van.
Coming, I'm coming, Chef.
No. Stop! Come here. You're sweating in the food.
It's yeah. Hot, Chef.
I know it. Oh, you're sweating in the food!
Man, I was sweating my ass off, man. But I don't know if it went in the food.
What's wrong with you? Serve them! By the way, you got a little touch of van on that one. Look at me!
Salt.
Get me out here!
I'm out of bust in my ass, bro. I'm sweating my ass off. I'm working as hard as I can for you, Chef.
You're sweating in the food, van.
He makes me look like a bitch constantly.
Send the whole back, Scott. I can't go like this again. I'm sending now 2 halibut, 1 lamb, 1 turbot. Yeah, I've got 1 halibut.
What do you need? 2 halibut.
I've got everything, but I'm dragging a halibut.
3 minutes, Chef.
The pan's not even hot. It's not even sizzling.
Man. Man. I'm going up, all right?
Yep.
And I keep letting him down. I mean, the man was in the fetal position. How do you think that makes me feel? It hurts me to see him be hurt by me trying to send out some little undercooked halibut.
All of you, come here!
Yeah, Chef.
You!
I'm sorry, Chef. I turned around for a minute.
Look.
That lettuce? I didn't even know that burner was on. I'm sorry,
Chef. What the are you doing?
Obviously, I wasn't intentionally cooking the lettuce.
It's in front of your eyes!
I just got this jacket. I told myself, when you get to that black jacket, do not that up.
This is not possible.
And this is what I did.
It's not good enough, Ariel.
Yes, Chef.
Who the doing that?
Blackened, burnt salmon garnish. Lettuce needs about 2 more minutes. It doesn't get much worse than that.
Scott. Okay, come here.
My God, what's going on?
That. Absolutely bad.
Not worth it.
Them.
What the hell is going on?
Can't take it anymore. I cannot take it anymore.
This has never happened before.
Real. Oh, me. That's the first.
They're gone. So are they coming back?
I can't take it anymore.
Oh, whistle britches.
Oh, whistle britches. Suzanne and Dave's song that Van was singing.
K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Just because it's like.
I was like, wow, how juvenile can you get?
Yeah, it's funny how.
Wow. And Van goes home, unfortunately. Oh, too bad.
The fish cook that couldn't cook fish.
Yeah, what was that? That's all I cook is fish. What can I do? What can I do?
It makes me nervous.
I want to see a fight between Angry John on Tool Academy and Van.
And Van.
Just friggin' bare knuckle boxing. What do you guys think? Even in the old, like,
Van
1930s boxing outfits.
Like fisticuffs.
Yeah, like a...
like Brent.
Like Far and Away with Tom Cruise.
Here we go again.
Oh, sorry. Awesome. So, who do you... Honestly, they're horrible every week. So, who's going to win this? Because...
It'll be Dave and Tennille the final. Maybe Kevin.
You know, what I thought was, yeah, Tennille was doing well, I guess. And
I thought it would be Arielle or Areola.
And come on, she burned some, Areola. She burned some lettuce. Was it really that big a deal?
Because it was right in front of her and she wasn't paying attention.
Just dump it out and throw some new lettuce in there.
Is more to the case of it, yeah.
I mean, she is still a front runner, do you guys think?
Definitely.
It's just finding something to bitch at her about. Now, the bald guy, what's his name?
Kevin,
does he have a chance, you think?
Yeah.
Kevin's
good. He's been real consistent throughout, same as Dave. Tennille and Ariel are both the kind of...
Kevin doesn't have the droid programming that Dave does.
That's why I put Dave in the lead.
Right.
Everybody's gunning for you.
Exactly. And you know what's kind of weird is we know Dave is a cyborg. So he has also human programming.
That's true.
Sometimes his human feelings come out. Like here, he doesn't sound like a robot at all.
Sit and spin. I don't give a...
It's like, whoa, what happened to the robot there? It's just like, I think when he gets angry, the more human side comes out because it's not logical.
Yeah, his emotion chip kicks in.
Focusing on tonight's service.
Exactly.
Well, I think because of his injury, puts him kind of as the lead. I mean, because he's always really good, and then he's hurt on top of it, and he's still better than most.
Well, there was that part where he had a pain, he's like, oh, and like he went all numb or something.
Yeah.
Did he pinch a nerve in his other wrist or something? What happened there?
No,
it was in the cast hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was just...
He just put too much weight on it.
And he's like, oh! Because
he's using it as like a balance, you know, to...
Yeah, exactly. He had the panhandle between his index finger and his thumb, too much weight on his wrist, and...
He wasn't paying attention, basically.
No.
What he was doing.
A reward.
What?
But
if it
came down to, like, tomorrow, it would be Dave.
I would think so. Because, I mean... I just want him to stick around till the end because he's our entertainment on the show. I mean, what's to get rid of Dave? I'm sorry, guys. I'm out.
I like it.
Yeah, there's really no other reason to watch it.
I like when Gordon handed him the new toboggan cap here. You need a new one.
I'll be working very hard, nonstop.
Oh, good, Dave. Good. It's the only way you're going to win, okay? Awesome. All right, guys. Let's talk about Top Chef. Bill, Top Chef, Robin. Everyone was pissed off because Mateen, the Frenchie, who got kicked off, who I don't know what. I don't know what the hell these people are smoking, Bill, because Mateen sucked, didn't he?
Yeah, Mateen did suck.
I think the only thing is he was a really nice guy. And
yeah, I think he socialized with them, so they took it harder, whereas Robin, everyone can't stand because she will not shut up.
Here's another thing is why, you know, Mateen, he was more talented. He should still be here. It's like the whole point is to eliminate competition every week. Maybe it would be good if he was gone because you could win without.
I want Dave the Robot to be on Top Chef.
A reward.
Yes. You
he
win.
Would get a large reward.
So Robin, she no one likes her. She's a cancer survivor. She's been through cancer.
How dare her?
And it seems like, I don't know if she really talks about it to people, because they don't show it, but she talks in the diary room sessions, whatever you want to call them, about having cancer. And I think the reason she was actually good in this one quick fire competition, because it had to do with your good and your bad, or your angel and your devil, I guess. It seemed like a really stupid quick fire, but... she actually had an idea and some kind of passion just for that brief moment. And that's probably the only time she'll win anything. But everyone was kind of annoyed by that. And what was this lady's name? Michelle Bernstein?
Yes.
I liked her.
Yeah, she was attractive.
Yeah, I liked her. I wanted her to make me some food. And,
Mazel tov.
Yeah, Mazel tov. Now, let's go ahead and play this clip. When she wins the quickfire, Steven... One of the guys here says what's on everyone's mind, but they don't say it out loud because it's tacky.
Well, they want to you hope you get cancer again and die.
No! What, no. Steven?
It's
what,
very close, though.
Steven!
I've never felt so bad about myself in my entire life.
I'm not saying that's the way I feel.
No, just listen to what he says.
then you represent Mateen.
Everyone loves Mateen. I went into Mateen's closet and I pulled out his scarf. We were all excited to wear his colors and represent him. I think that he's a better cook than some of the people that are still here. Robin, I don't understand why she's still here. She can't cook for
Congratulations, Robin.
Mike, beside myself. In less than 24 hours, I went from the bottom to the top. And that in and of itself is encouraging. And I know that I deserve to be here.
Robin, this gives you immunity in the next elimination challenge.
That's a pretty good way to win a quickfire. Just tell people you have cancer. When I had cancer, I could eat this. And when I didn't, I ate this. It's like, oh, okay. Mean, weak.
Wow.
That guy's officially a douchebag.
Sour grapes much? And the guy's got a weird just...
It's like...
He does.
He's a friggin' cartoon or something. I don't know what he is.
He's got like this squished head and the really bad
hair.
He
looks like a drawing.
Kind of like a hipster chef thing going on.
You know what was funny is Penn and Teller were on this show, and I actually thought about it like, wait a second, when they're at the judges' table, what the hell is Teller going to say? Because he doesn't talk. And it was so funny when they got to that, he would just kind of make faces, like grimaces or whatever.
Well, you know what's weird is in certain situations he does talk. Like I've seen him interviewed on news and whatnot, so... When they're outside of the, you know, the whole performing thing, why not talk?
When they're in, when they're
but if
they, doing
if
their
representing
act.
Penn and Teller.
Yeah, since they were Penn and Teller, the magicians, he's not.
I guess.
Talk. And it was funny how they did the cup thing. I thought that was pretty cool. And then they showed how they did it with
well,
the see-through
I saw like
cups.
Another magician type show where he did that same thing, except he was in shadow when he talked. You know, you see it was clearly him.
Where yeah, he was hiding his identity.
No. He wasn't like, hiding. Oh. You could tell it was him. It was just dark. It was shaded.
It makes it more mysterious.
Yeah. But, like there was a thing called Desert Bus for Hope, where it's like the most boring game ever made for the Sega CD, and it was a Penn and Teller game. And whoa.
It's a bad name for a game.
Well, the game was called Smoke and Mirrors, but it was mini game. On the thing called Desert Bus, where you actually had to drive from, I think, L.A. to Las Vegas. And it was the entire trip, moving at 55 miles an hour.
What?
And all you have to do is hit the left button every couple minutes so that the bus doesn't go off the road and you lose. So somebody came up with the idea to do this Desert Bus for Hope thing where they play the game and raise money. And Teller visited them and actually gave an interview and all that stuff about it right on camera.
Oh, cool. That sounds like the worst game I've ever heard of.
Well, that was the whole point of it. It's so incredibly terrible. Oh, it's a mini game where you drive a bus from Tucson, Arizona to Las Vegas, Nevada in real time. That's 8 hours of continuous play and the game cannot be paused. There's no scenery, no other car on the road. The bus veers slightly to the right, so you just simply tap the left down on the controller button to do something else. So that's it. It's 8 hours just staring at the same thing.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
Is there footage on YouTube of that?
Yeah, I think there is, actually.
Awesome. Got to check that out. They kept showing it in the commercial, which is driving me nuts, because I like to see things as they happen. But it was funny where... we see who's back this week, Bill, don't we? Toby. What's his last name? I forget.
Toby Keith?
Toby Chew?
Charlie Chan?
What the hell's his name? I can't remember.
Toby, Toby...
Toby. Oh, Kunta. Kunta Kinte is his name. Right?
Toby Mac?
Toby Stevens? Toby. So, anyway, that guy's back. He's the food critic from Jolly Old England, and he's just kind of an...
Who had a movie made about him with Simon Pegg.
He's an asshat, basically.
You mean nothing to me. You've destroyed me emotionally. I hate you.
He's like
big glass,
way too dedicated to making comments that just... don't
go anywhere.
And he says,
these look like bull testicles. And Padma goes, I've actually had bull testicles before. And he goes, I bet you have. Ben goes, I bet you have.
Yeah, that was great.
I thought that was hilarious. So anyway, it was a fun show, whatever. Let's talk about Fringe. Awesome. Fringe is back. Last week was the first episode. Oh, yeah. And it had the cool shape-shifting kind of creature from another dimension. Is it a humanoid type creature? I don't know.
Yeah, it was weird how it like would break its face and then...
Oh, yeah.
It was like that fire thing. And
that
the
thing that you jam up in your mouth. I thought that was really cool. And I love the beginning where Olivia crashes, but she's not there. And then she appears and crashes through the windshield. A
couple hours later.
And I was really touched by a Walter scene where he's crying about her because she's in a coma. And he's like, he called
Toby Young!
Toby Young! Doesn't he call her Liv or Olive? Oh, Olive. Yeah. Poor Olive. I felt really bad about that. I don't like to get into this too much because sometimes I read people's comments. People were upset that there weren't explanations from the finale. Hello, they don't do that on these shows. Mm-hmm. They don't show you the answers, especially on a J.J. Abrams produced show.
It's like, wait a second. That's what the whole series is about, yeah. Trying to figure out the answers.
Like, we already know from the finale that Peter, that lives in our world... They pretty much showed it to us. He had a grave here, so he died. Walter got Peter from another world, another dimension, if you will, and brought him over here because he needed his son. And Peter has no idea about that. So we know that much. We know that Olivia, she went to speak to Spock in the World Trade Center, which still exists in another
time.
Alternate reality. And now she's come back somehow and doesn't have memory of it, and she's trying to remember.
Followed the beam.
Exactly. Now, this guy, this agent from another dimension, wants to find out what she knows and then kill her. But then when finds out she can't remember, decides to kill poor Charlie. That upset me. That made me mad. Because it didn't make any sense, first of all, that scene. I kept going back in it in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's kind of like a mole. It's not really Charlie. It's a secret mole.
Right.
Okay. We know that whatever it is inhabits a body, right? Uses this machine to attach to someone else and becomes that in the face. The only problem is they show the scene. Charlie's got a gun, right? Comes up behind him, turns, shoots. You hear it. They run up and Charlie is standing there and the person's dead on the ground. In order for it to work how they showed it before, wouldn't there need to be a third body? I don't understand what just happened there.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't even think about it that deep, but you're right.
Or maybe that machine...
The body that it was...
Maybe the machine can switch Charlie into looking like the woman and him into Charlie, but it's not. It's temporary, so he comes back and digs him out of the trash... And then fixes it then. I don't know.
Threw the body into the fire.
No, I know. Before
you're making my brain hurt.
I know. I don't understand that scene at all. I'd like somebody to explain it to me. Because I just...
Welcome to Minehead.
Exactly. I need to visit Minehead and get all this together.
I got to stop showing my thing to the naked Laker
girls. Mr. Weenie in the pants.
So, okay... Anyway, besides that, mole storylines on shows drive me nuts. When there's a secret...
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the mole
storylines. Remember, it was like season 3 of Alias, where there was one of the persons at SD6... No, it wasn't SD6 anymore. I forget where it is. The CIA was a double agent, and it was through the whole season and friggin' drove me nuts because they always infiltrated the intel and told the bad guys. It just annoyed the shit out of me. But here's another thing. They show this cool thing where the guy goes to this mysterious typewriter shop.
Yeah.
And he types in and through the reflection of the mirror. That was really cool last week. This week when they show it again, not as cool anymore because you already showed me. What do you think, Steven?
Multiple times? I understand it being multiple times. The first time was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the second time's old hat, but still... There's got to be that communication.
Yeah,
I mean,
they showed
it
3 times now. Here's what I'm saying.
I do like that it's just the typewriter.
That is cool. I like how it's this weird form of communication in the mirror. I don't understand what's going on there, but that's cool.
They don't need to show it every time.
They don't need to show the establishing shot. Oh, this is where he is again or whatever. So, you know, it's minor nitpick. It's no big deal. And you know what's funny? Peter even said, what are they expected to do? Every week we're going to go find a new creature. You know, he basically explained how people complain about, oh, it's just a creature of the week or whatever. And he says that, what are we going to just keep doing the same thing, finding some new creature every week? And hey, the case is solved and move on to the next one. It was just funny the way they kind of referenced that. And of course, we have Walter, who I love. That's the reason I watch the show. And they have this new kind of FBI agent that's hanging out with them, too. Remember?
The chick, yeah.
The chick. And they have the cool moment where she walks in and sees the cow and all that. But what's cool is Peter used that technology, that shape-shifting technology, to show the higher-up saying, hey, we need funding and give us whatever we want. So they do. So that's pretty cool. So this week, there's some kind of thing living underground that pulls people under. And there's this really, every once in a while, there's a shot on the show that's really creepy because they don't show you much. It's just like in the distance, you see something going and start running towards them. It's like, holy shit, what the hell was that? You know, it's really creepy. And there's this old, this man who's lost his wife and kid, and you don't know what's going on, but they kind of figure out that the woman's baby died in childbirth, and she died too. But they're figuring something else is going on here. Let's go and check it out. What do you guys say?
Okay.
Peter, I've got it. Mrs. Hughes' womb. You were right. She did give birth.
I'm glad we got that settled.
The afterbirth is still inside her. Look, look at the tissue composition.
Walter, according to this, Hughes' baby wasn't entirely human.
It explains his research. Reproductive biology and gene replacement. I hypothesized that he may have used some scorpion DNA. I mean, it's an incredibly resilient creature, and also possibly something that lives underground, a mole rat.
Scorpions do paralyze their prey with toxin. It could explain the blue liquid.
Yes. Hey, what did it miss?
Hughes' baby. He altered it inside the womb so that it could survive its mother's lupus.
Okay, that is sick.
That is brilliant. He's created a super baby.
Nice.
One capable of surviving in the most
super baby
environment.
You know, it was cool to see Charles Martin Smith again. I haven't seen him in a while in anything, but his fate, poor guy. It all, like, if the ground's just kind of cracking, like, what is that down there? It's like hot
it
on top
felt
of the car.
Very X-Files-y
it?
This episode.
Yeah, it did.
The whole underground stuff and the crazy.
You know, I
thing.
Love that moment where Olivia's looking through the hole and she turns. She's like, Peter, can you. And the thing's like right there, like over her shoulder. He's like,
it's a slow mutant.
But didn't you guys love this also? I love this moment because Joshua Jackson, I do think the guy can act just from the scene where she's distracted looking for something in her room and he goes, you know, he kind of walks in, he's like, and she turns and shoots at him, like, gets, like, an inch of his head. And he's just kind of, like, looking at the bullet hole, kind of like, he's, like, pissed off and bewildered and angry. He's just like, what the
hell? That was good.
You almost friggin' shot me. She's like, oh, I'm really sorry. But the way she turns is like, bam! Oops, sorry, Peter. I thought that was really good. I really love this show. And
I love Walter testing the frog on the car.
Oh yeah, it's like multiple things trying to figure it out.
Trying to figure out why the frog hasn't disappeared yet.
I just love it. I love the character.
I love the test.
Yeah, I just love his character. Everything about Fringe is awesome. And they give us little clues to things. They're not going to give us answers, outright answers, and I don't expect that. I think that slowly they'll do certain things. And one thing I thought was cool and funny is how he sat Olivia down and he's like, I want to explain to you about alternate realities. And she's just kind of, he's like, have I told you this before? She's like, yeah. Yes. I thought that was good. But Bill, let's go ahead and talk about an alternate reality that is the colony. Right?
Okay.
This is the season finale, or it might be the finale forever. I have no idea if they're going to do anything like it next year or... I think I really want a zombie apocalypse episode or a show. Zombie apocalypse show. What do you think, Bill? Wouldn't that be awesome? Because think about it.
Hopefully we'll get a decent one here shortly.
Because listen, Marauders, you know, they're people. But if you had zombies where the people knew, like, they're not going to actually eat you or anything, but if you get bitten or whatever. So if they just have shuffling actors, that's still scary as shit, isn't it?
That would be awesome.
That would be so scary. And, you know, maybe give them guns with blank. No, that'd be too dangerous. Give them...
paint guns.
Paint guns, yeah.
Yeah, paint guns.
Yeah, something like that. That would be
paint
cool.
Gun.
I love
or just give them real guns.
Yeah, blam! I didn't sign up for this!
We need to start thinning out the herd of extras in L.A.
That's when zombies can run, is when the actors realize they're really killing us. Then you gotta run
thinning out all the bad actors.
Yeah. Kabam! Zombie walk my ass. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? Holy shit! Tackleberry's got a huge gun there, doesn't he? Tackleberry.
He borrowed it off of Paul Kersey.
My mom gave it to me.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, wrong.
No, okay. The Colony, awesome show, right? I love it. I talk about it every week.
Very sad to see it end.
It was sad to see it end.
And it was such an unsatisfying end.
It really was. I don't know what I expected. Maybe to see them go back into the real world and her family be standing there.
Something,
like,
yeah. Come on.
Reunited with the doctor who disappeared. But I understand it's an experiment. But still, we've watched them starving. Okay, I want to ask you guys this. How dramatic has Mike gone? He went from looking alive to, like, friggin' death.
Dead?
Like, he looked horrible, didn't he? Last couple of episodes,
and that staff from the
and that's
the
even
toilet.
That's even before he even crashes the trike and is bleeding everywhere. Even before that, he's like, oh, I don't have a lot of energy. There's no protein.
Well, it's because they didn't have food.
But
they kept getting stolen. Everything was going wrong. That was just cruel.
He looked awful, man. And they'd. That one episode where they go to the water and the marauders are there, like, oh, let's get out of here. You know, they were screwed. So they're basically on borrowed time, as they say, and they were trying to build. I thought it was so cool that they built a gasifier for a truck. How cool was that?
Yeah, I was wondering if it would even work because they spent so much time on the first gasifier and it didn't work.
And, you know, what's interesting about the Joey, you know, we know he's been in prison. He's like, you guys don't understand. I've actually been in situations like this. Remember when that dude's girlfriend comes and she steals her bread and he freaks out? And he's yelling at him. And then he kind of gets handsy. He's like, shoves her. And she's like, you can't push me or whatever. And he's like, you know, in prison, if anything ever happens, we do a lockdown. Nobody does anything. You guys don't understand. The problem is the guy gets really worked up, right?
Right.
And I can understand that.
He does get worked up. And you know what? I can. It's like you were going to say, I can understand it. But and then the whole thing that he hit her, that was pissing me off.
Well, I mean, I think technically he was like slapping at her hands or swatting or whatever.
Well, he was pushed her in from behind.
But he pulled her in because she was taking her sweet-ass time.
Right, but at the same time, she could, you know, walk in however slow she wanted to. The guy had no, I mean, if you're getting into it like it's a simulation or whatever, he had no right to touch them.
Right.
And actually, I think it was kind of cool of Allison, you know, she said that he hit her, but she spoke up for the other girl who I don't think she was going to speak for herself at all. She wasn't going to say anything about it.
No, she's a pushover.
I think Allison said that wasn't right to do that. He got hung up on the... You're saying I hit her. But honestly, that's semantics. It has nothing to do with that. What it really is you shouldn't have touched her. And I think he came back and said he was sorry about that anyway.
Yeah, he did apologize.
Right then, he was all fired up, and it was probably the wrong time to even bring it up because he was defensive and angry. But later on, he was like, hey, you know what? It was wrong. I was just trying to protect you, but I was really just got out of hand. I shouldn't have laid hands on you. Just know I will never hurt you, kind of thing. So it's like, okay, that's okay. But, you know, the whole thing where he's like, I didn't hit her. And she's like, no, you hit her. And it's like, well, okay, let's look at the video. It looks like you kind of slap at her hands a little bit. You just kind of wave your hands. It's not really hitting. So just whatever, you know. It's a kind of thing where people, if they sit down and they talk it out, everything's okay. And that's how it was. But I do got to say this. Allison, when she was doing that work on the car, like sanding with the blade thing.
Hot.
The hottest thing I've ever seen on television.
Yeah, I'm watching that. And I'm like,
she's
oh
like,
my.
There's sparks
going. And she's got like that.
Her gams are showing.
That
just
tank top on. It's just
got like, you know, soot on her face and she's all dirty. And I was just like, this is the hottest thing I've ever seen.
Like flash dance all over again.
Hell yeah. And you see even Mike is kind of like, yeah.
I'm feeling better.
I'm really tired, but I'd still hit it.
Keep Mr. Weenie in the pants.
Nah, don't worry. But still, when it came down to the Marauders, Bill, you and I were talking about this, that when the Marauders finally attack and they have to defend, they got the Molotov cocktails, they've been teasing us with the footage through the entire season. Mm-hmm. Like in the intro, so we didn't see anything new.
There was no weight to it.
I thought it was cool how they made the trap, the little hallway with the grease on the floor and the net, and just spray a fire extinguisher so you're like disoriented. I thought that was pretty cool. But still, I would have liked to have seen Joey's character like stay behind just in time. Get out of here!
Yeah, it just felt so forced.
You know, like
1 minute it's pitch black night, you know, and
then it's daytime.
Yeah, and then they're leaving, and the sun's up, and it's like, oh. What,
they're trying to give us, like, a big climactic scene in a movie, and I don't think it worked out like that.
No, it didn't work at
Andre's
all.
Andre's like, I told you fools I'd be back, and I got Will.I.Am here, and he can teleport. Shit. It's like, oh, dear, let's get the hell out of here, you know?
I'm charming, bitches.
Oh, dude, they should have gotten John, Angry John, on the show.
That would have scared the shit out of me.
Angry John, he's here and he hates us.
You mean nothing to me. You've destroyed me emotionally. I hate you.
So anyway, as they're getting away, Joey's like, I'm going to stay here in the wastelands. And
this is my city. I can't leave it.
You know what I was thinking? It's an hour drive. You could come back after you get a nice meal and get some sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do you have to be all dramatic and I'm going to stay here in this other car? It's like, dude. Just
I'm
go with them,
Dr. George.
It's an hour away. You can drive back. You know, come on. And you
but there's no gas in the apocalypse.
Yeah, the gasifier. They just use the truck.
Yes, but they need wood.
Oh yeah, you're right. So I don't know what they're going to do if they're gonna, it's going to be another season. But I almost, Bill, I need closure with these people.
Yeah, I do. And it's funny that, like, the final interviews they were given, they were all cleaned up and
what final interviews?
And makeup.
Do I see that on the internet, on the website?
It was at the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
Like,
yeah,
Allison was all cleaned up and
right. Okay, let's play this clip real quick.
I said early on that we're going to build our way out of the colony, and I'm just trying to figure out if this truck is going to get us where we need to go.
Hollywood, baby!
I hope this gets us to where we can go and rebuild and not run out of food and water before we get there.
Basically, I think the number one thing I learned here was that survival is an attitude. It's about, you know, embracing the past and embracing your memories, but moving on and having hope and staying positive.
Truly being in this type of a situation, you sort of evolve into a family and you grow emotionally.
It really has changed something in me in terms of what I thought was important and what I might plan to do the rest of my life. And it's something that's growing inside me, and I think that's pretty cool.
In the 21st century, few people have the necessary skills in order to survive a catastrophic event. A simulated disaster scenario is an invaluable way to prepare, because disasters can happen at any time with no notice.
Hearing wonky!
Huh?
No! Moron Barter Town.
Can you explain?
Oh my God, that's where they're driving to Barter Town. Cling, clong.
We're gonna have to shovel pig shit.
20 men enter. Only him, leave.
So they're like, dude, we don't need pig shit. We got a gasifier. They're like, damn, let's throw this midget in it. what? Why did I say that?
I hear midgets burn hotter than wood.
Yo, but Jesus. Him sad.
I think he's related to Dave the Robot.
I know, that's weird.
Everybody's gunning for you.
Yeah, get out of the wastelands, dude. So I want a wrap-up show where they have them on a set and they interview them about what they went through and stuff like that with some
that
footage
nice.
Of them returning to the real world. So, anyway, let's talk about Entourage real quick, guys. I don't really want to talk about Entourage.
I didn't even watch it.
Now, the only... I don't know. I got nothing, guys. I'm trying to motivate myself to talk about it.
The only thing worth talking about is Lloyd leaving.
Well, Lloyd leaves Ari last week, remember? And did it seem like his hatred for Lloyd all of a sudden came... Where did that come from?
Come out of nowhere?
Where he's like...
I don't think it was so much for Lloyd as it was for the guy, Alan, that he went to.
Well, remember, Ari didn't know about it yet. Yeah. And remember this, you know, Lloyd goes... We're at 50 days now, Ari, and he's saying 100 days. And he's like, what? You're questioning me? 10 more days at it. He goes, Ari, you don't need to... 10 more days! You know, he's doing that, just being the biggest dick possible. And then he's in the car. He's just being mean to him, so he abandons the car. I thought that was funny, because I thought Ari deserved it. But then there's this scene here when he finds out that basically Lloyd went to that other guy, Alan. Josh, or...
I thought it was Alan. Yeah, Alan something.
Yeah. And he wants to... He still represents Johnny, right? And so Johnny's like, he's... You know, he pretty much lets the cat out of the bag. So let's go... Let's just have the scene where he's yelling at Lloyd, okay?
I'm sorry you feel that way, Ari.
You're sorry, Lloyd? You have no idea how sorry you're going to be. I am going to destroy you. I am going to erode every fiber of your spirit.
You no longer exist. You are dead to me. And the town will know that anyone meeting with you, speaking with you, or even nodding to you on the street will be dead as well. So die, Lloyd. Die, die, die.
I mean, was that really necessary? That was really angry, wasn't it? No, we have Eric also, his girlfriend, who I hate, the actress. She's starting to be psycho. I don't mind that storyline. Because she's psycho and she wants to
see
his email.
Maybe she'll throw herself off of...
Well, I'm hoping this. Fatal Attraction, she stabs Eric to death on the season finale.
And then kills herself.
Yeah, dives off an overpass.
Mulholland Drive.
Yeah. Mulholland Falls, Steven. Yeah. Hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm charming, bitches.
Huh? So, also... No, we didn't cover that last week or the week before, which is we find out who the stalker is, right? Last week, which was some sorority girls stealing turtles' underwear because he's dating Jamie Lynn.
Wow, that storyline really went somewhere.
Yeah, woo, that was a great storyline. And also now he's like, she's really hot, but I'm a Jamie and I got a girlfriend.
It's like, dude, you got a movie star girlfriend.
It's just...
you know what's funny is it's so typical of Entourage this season where they spend almost the entire season on a MacGuffin storyline.
Right, that has
nothing,
nothing to it. Because remember they even have like Frank Darabont there on his Ferrari movie. And that one storyline, I forgot to mention this, that he said that some guy said he wanted to Shawshank him. And he goes, what'd you do? And he's like, I shot his ass. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was good.
But he's only there because they're making the Ferrari movie that we won't see mentioned again until the end of the season, I guess. And they had the whole thing with the security team and all that. And it all came down to sorority girls. Remember, drama goes to the S&M shop or porno shop to find the guy who he happened to lose it in a couch. It was bought in a thrift store or something. It's like, what?
Yeah,
Doug Ellen, who the hell? What the hell, dude?
Yeah, that whole...
Come on.
What, you weren't entertained by that?
It was way... So he
not funny!
Stretched that one way too thin.
Wow, and Kate Mara's finally coming into it where... You know, your girlfriend thinks that you're, you know, trying to get in your pants or whatever. And, whatever. Hey, let's just briefly mention, because we need to get to the news. Let's briefly mention True Blood, the finale. And I just want to go back to Dallas. Remember when they left Dallas? Everything from then on, I was hoping it would go somewhere. But they really, it was all just kind of like not having enough plot. And they kind of just helped it along to the finale. Because the Marianne stuff, was that like the first 30 minutes of the finale? And the rest was just kind of the...
Yep. Set up for season three,
where I would have rather they have that Marianne stuff ended the previous episode and just had this last episode, because once Marianne is dead, I was like, oh, thank God, normalcy.
Yes.
And just have them, you know, Sookie's back in her house and they can talk and everything's normal. Because wasn't the people crazy with black eyes driving you nuts? I mean, was it?
Yeah, it was so ponderous.
And I, you know what? One thing I noticed, and remember the episode where Tara is in her trance and she's got the black eyes and they're trying to get her out of it? She's there at...
yes,
at her mom's house.
At the house. Mm-hmm. She looks just like the alien, the Rasa alien from Buckaroo Banzai. Does she not? Am I right? Huh?
You're right.
You are right.
But anyway, I'm just going to say it felt like to me, one thing I love about season one, it was so tightly plotted. This felt so clumsily plotted to me. Like, you know, I say before about the motivation of characters doing things that are stupid, like Sam going to Murlocs, putting himself in danger, all that stuff. So I'm just saying that I hope they gain their perspective back. Because I really thought the beginning, the first part of the season, remember the stuff with
you kind of figure, like, if they wrote the first season not knowing if they're going to get picked up for a second one, and it became a big hit, so they had to go, oh, shit, we know.
Not necessarily, because what they're doing is adapting each book. And they adapted the second book, and they leave the setting up the next book at the end, the very last episode. So what I'm saying is, from when Godric dies into the Marianne storyline, they had too many episodes left. Mm-hmm. They should have stretched out the better storyline, which was Dallas. And in fact, there's shit in the book that they could have stretched out. There was more material there that they didn't use. And the stuff with the Newlands, how all of a sudden they're not a threat anymore, and they're just kind of...
That was my favorite part of the entire season.
I love that stuff with Jason there and training and all that. Yeah. That's if you remember, the first part of the season is way better than the second half.
Oh, the first part of the season's excellent. I can just watch the first part of the season and then leave it at the episode where Godric dies and that be the finale.
I would say almost like this. If you're going to watch this season of True Blood, the two episodes before the finale, just excise them. Just, you know, jump over those, you know. I just think there should have been tighter plotting. You know, I love True Blood, and I love the books, and I love the characters. I really thought it got sloppy, is what I'm saying. What do you guys think?
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
So you guys want to do some news?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do the news!
Brilliant.
Well, thank you. Now, Bill, before we get into the news, I wanted to mention that tonight, actually Fridays, every Friday, Dollhouse and Smallville come on. So we will cover those episodes that aired tonight next week. And unfortunately, Smallville, it's on Fridays, so we'll never be able to talk about the most recent episode. I hope our listeners understand, because I know you want us to get to that fresh material, am I right?
You know you love the Smallville, just like we do.
Yeah, everyone loves Smallville. Right, Bill?
Martini!
Bill?
No, shit!
Oh, were you
sitting here talking with my microphone muted. I muted it to cough and forgot to unmute it.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes, I said that everyone loves to hate Smallville.
That's
and then
right.
The Jawa agreed.
Yes, he did. And you know who else agrees with us?
I've never felt so bad about myself in my entire life.
Oh, no. You can like it. You don't have to hate yourself, all right, dude?
Stop and listen for once!
Oh, my God. Bill, let's just get to the news.
Yeah, he's getting way too angry.
Yeah, it's kind of scaring me.
All right, a man sitting on a toilet at Wiggy's Bar in Madison, Wisconsin, was ordered to take his clothes off by a man wielding a sawed-off shotgun.
Holy
police
shit.
Police reported.
Wiggies,
according
huh?
to police, the man lost his money to the gunman before reporting the alleged crime to a bartender. The incident reportedly happened around 12:30 a.m. Madison police said the victim, 43-year-old Madison man, reported he was in a stall when the suspect pushed open the stall door. He said he saw the person had a sawed-off shotgun and ordered him to take off all his clothes.
It's not funny!
The victim said the suspect took his money and tossed the clothes into a corner of the restroom before exiting. The victim said he got dressed and reported the crime to the bartender. However, a different bar employee said he saw the victim standing at a urinal just prior to the alleged robbery and not in a stall.
Okay, that is sick.
Huh, this sounds like this guy's clever ruse.
Yeah, there's something going on. Something's afoot at Wiggy's bar.
Wiggy's, I love it.
All right, September 22nd. Fredericksburg, Virginia, police are looking for a urinal-damaging vandal who has wreaked havoc in the city on Friday. This is a bathroom break. Police spokeswoman Natasha Bledsoe said the man damaged urinals in at least seven city restaurants in or near Central Park that afternoon.
Ow! Ow!
You must really hate urinals.
I hate urinals! I like to pee sitting down! It's a travesty!
Oh. Wow.
I just, okay. I'm profiling guys. That's what I'm figuring out why he doesn't want to do. He doesn't like urinals because he can't properly drain his bladder standing up. It's a well-known fact.
Or he wants to be a woman. Yeah.
Sit down, your feet at the 10 and 2 position, and evacuate those bladders. Bladders? Bladder. Oh, I'm thinking of tauntauns, guys.
Have two bladders like Doctor Who has two hearts?
Yes. That's how I can sit through a whole movie without having to pee. Oh, just switch to the auxiliary bladder. Drink some nice. More Mountain Dew here. Oh, that was one funny part in True Blood where they were drinking, just drink your Mountain Dew and live a life of ignorance. I forget what the word was, what he said exactly, but Andy stole the show, I think.
Yes, he did. Police now, have identified the suspect of destroying the urinals as 39-year-old Timothy Banks of Fort Washington, Maryland. He is charged with 7 counts of felony vandalism and 3 counts of attempting to obtain money by false pretenses. What is this?
I'm glad we got that settled.
The vandal claimed to be a plumber and tried to get several restaurants to pay him to fix them. So he would go in, break them, and then say, hey, I'll fix them for some money.
My whole theory is just gone in the crapper, Steven.
Yep, there you go.
My profile just... I'm going to stick
to... So he's just looking for money.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Bledsoe said police have since learned that Banks has been charged with similar offenses in other cities. So he's a serial urinal vandalizer. I know we always love to talk about reimaginings of films, and yeah. I think this one I'm most excited about. Summit Entertainment, the company that's now flushed with cash because of the Twilight saga, they're set to deploy some of its cash on a new version of Highlander.
What?
And it's being described, it seems, as a reimagination, and Summit has hired the Fast and Furious team of producer...
No! I'm sorry.
Moritz and Justin and director Justin Lin to bring the project to life.
Happy Halloween, ladies.
That's no bad idea. Guys, I just watched this movie for the Highlander movie. Before we start on Highlander, I just watched Speed Racer, and I'm thinking of a cool CGI race scene for Connor McLeod here.
Yeah. Ramirez totally loves Carfu.
Remember when Highlander 2, when Ramirez comes back to life for no reason? And he goes... And now it's time for me to go for no explanation. Yeah. He's like, my guest starring role is now up. The money's ran out, and I'm taking off. All right, so later. So bye, Ramirez. And he door shuts.
It's been
we'll
fun.
Get, Ryan Reynolds to play Connor McLeod.
No! I'm like Wolverine when he's a kid. I got my bone claws ready to stab somebody. And by the way, didn't Wolverine's dad look a lot like Angry John from Tool Academy? Just think about it.
Stop and listen for once!
Oh my god.
So they've also got the original Highlander producer Peter Davis working on the new version, while Art Markham and Matt Holloway have been picked to write the script. They're the pair behind the screenplay of Iron Man.
Why? Okay, why? If you're going to do a remake, honestly, it's like, guys, why do we need to hire someone to rewrite it? Why don't we just use the original script? You know, we'd maybe change a couple lines of dialogue, but Gregory Wyden, who wrote the first one, hire him.
To rewrite his own work.
Yeah.
Who wrote The Quickening?
The Quickening! Some other people.
Hire them!
That was awesome.
You are now from the planet Zeist. It's like, what? You know, it's like... You know,
I'm an old Connor McCloud in a dark city.
By the way, I just want to explain to people, you know, you people who complain about Fringe not giving answers or Lost? Here's what happens. Highlander, mysterious. They're immortals. Highlander 2, let's give the audience what they want. They want to know where the how people are immortal. They're from the planet Zeist. That's what happens when you want answers, because no one has a friggin' clue.
Planet Zeist?
They're from the planet Zeist.
It's not supernatural at all. They're aliens.
You know what happens when you want answers to things like the Force? You get friggin' midichlorians. You don't want answers, because when you want answers... There aren't any, and they make shit up. They reach up their ass and pull shit out of it and slap it there on the printed page. That's why you get that crap.
Die, die, die.
Yikes. Sorry about that. I was ranting a little bit. I don't know where that came from.
Bizarre rant.
So, workers at a pizza plant in the Republic of Ireland are set to step up and strike... after being fired for allegedly viewing porn on the job.
Here we go again.
Yeah, you might want to avoid Green Isle Foods.
Yikes.
Staff at Green Isle Foods in Kildare have won cross-union support for the protest. So they went to the union. The Irish Congress of Trade Union has granted their union permission for an all-out picket at the factory. The plant now faces serious disruption if other union members, including suppliers and post workers, refuse to pass the picket. The company said three workers lost their jobs after viewing adult material and breaching the company's internet policy, but their union claims they're being scapegoated.
Wow. So there's a pizza factory in Ireland, first of all?
Yeah, I know. Who would have thunk?
Wow. So, hey, guys, brought my laptop. Let's watch some porn while we're making pizzas. Hey, that's the best idea.
It's magically delicious.
That's a really bad Irish accent. I just did everybody just goes to redneck for me. He's like, man, that's a great idea. Let's watch some porn. It's like, where did this
sound? Irish redneck.
Irish redneck.
Okay, that is sick.
Randy. This is really weird. Yes, it is. Thank you. Actor Randy Quaid and his wife Evie were arrested on Thursday following a complaint that they had not paid the hotel bill of more than $10,000.
How dare they arrest Randy Quaid?
Shitter must have been full. The Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Department said in a statement that the complaint was made in early September by a hotel in California, and warrants to arrest the couple were issued as a part of the criminal investigation.
What, you got shit in your ears? Come on!
No, but I had a burp in my throat.
Yes!
The warrants for burglary, defrauding an innkeeper, and conspiracy set bail at $20,000 each. Holy shit! According to Drew Sugars, a spokesman for the Santa Barbara County Sheriff.
Shit! Wow. God, I think I smell it. Come on, let's go.
That's like an old school drop. The sound quality's horrible.
I'll have to make a new one of that. Celebrity website TMZ reported that the couple was arrested in Marfa, Texas, by Presidio County Sheriff's deputies. The 58-year-old actor and his former model wife were both reported to have posted $20,000 bail. No further details were available. And a representative for the Quaids could not be immediately contacted for comment. So these are they like? So they're not outlaws, but this is nutty.
Wow, that is crazy.
Burglary, defrauding an innkeeper, and conspiracy. What's so conspiratorial about not paying your hotel bill.
Is it like if you conspire with somebody to not pay your bill, that's conspiracy?
they went in a corner and whispered about not paying the,
like,
the
Steven,
bill.
How do we
know
get
that
out
there's that nice of a hotel in Marfa that would cost?
Isn't that like
in Marfa?
Will they stay there for a year?
No, they were arrested in Marfa, but they were staying in Santa Barbara.
Weird. Well, I hope Randy gets
together. So they
his
went to go
together.
See the Marfa lights.
Yeah, the Marfa lights.
The Marfa lights?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like these mysterious lights in the sky.
Mm-hmm. Nope. No, not on the sky. They're
I
on
thought,
the,
oh, the ground?
Oh.
At the base of this mountain.
Was he going to, was he going to fly a jet plane into them and say, in the words of my generation, up yours?
It's possible.
Yeah, there's this whole
everybody's gunning for
sci-fi
you.
Sci-fi thing going on out there.
Very interesting.
Interesting. That was very interesting. All right, last story. A homeless man was arrested on Saturday after deputies say he was sitting outside a coin-operated laundry with no pants on, claiming it was because his pants were inside being cleaned. Oh, well, that makes sense. James Lowell, 59, was arrested by Collier County Sheriff's deputies and charged with indecent exposure in public, trespassing, and having an open container of alcohol in a public area, and resisting an officer without violence.
But I was going to the Toshi station to pick up some power converters.
That would have been so much better of an excuse. Why don't you have your pants on, sir? Well, I was going to Toshi station to pick up some power converters. Oh,
I'll tell you another okay. Bad motivator. Look.
Okay, well, you can go, son. Just put some pants on.
I have a bad motivator. Oh, why did you say so?
Man.
What the hell is that?
The report indicates that Lowe had been removed from the property and charged with trespassing once before and had returned. So the deputy made contact with an employee. The employee, whose name was crossed out, told deputies Lowe sits outside the shop and harasses customers asking for money. Another witness, whose name was also removed from the report, told deputies that she walked out of the Circle K gas station. Oh, something was afoot at the Circle K. next door and past Lowe, who lifted up one of his legs as she walked by, exposing his genitalia to her. That is one classy guy.
Keep Mr. Weenie in the pants.
I love that this drunken fool thinks, I'll show her one of my balls, and maybe she'll go gaga.
You mean nothing to me. You've destroyed me emotionally. I hate you.
Arresting Deputy Jeffrey S. Magner reported making contact with Lowell while he sat against the window of the laundromat and states he was wearing a jean jacket around his waist but no pants. However, the report notes it was not completely covering his genitalia. At the time, there were several adults and small children walking around the plaza and in and out of the coin-operated laundry. According to the report, he told deputies his pants and personal belongings were in the coin-operated laundry being cleaned. The report further states that Lowell appeared impaired and had a plastic mug with a Bud Light logo on the ground next to him, filled with a partially consumed substance that smelled like alcohol. Oh,
detective work there.
Well, I stuck around for this.
Wow. Taking him into custody, deputies also found a baggie of white pills, but were unable to identify them through poison control. Those are just my aspirin.
And that's somehow my problem?
Want to see my balls?
Hey, come here. I want to show you something. What? What are you? Come here for a second. If anyone ever does that, I just go, no.
No. Hey, pretty lady.
Hey, come here. Hey, I got to tell you something. Well, what do you want?
I told you about that happening to me, kind of, didn't I?
What? What?
Kind of. I was working in I was working in a prison doing my medical thing, my job. And I'm sitting there working at the nurse's station, and behind me is the guy in a bed. Psst, hey.
No.
So, hey. Psst. And I was just totally ignoring the guy. And the guard comes over and says, you know, throws the sheet back over him. If I have to do this again, I'm going to rattle your brain or something. Because he was
one
naked.
One of my testicles has enlarged.
Steven was getting hit on
the
by
the guy was like, hey, come look at my balls.
He was naked laying there on the bed. Yeah, he knocked his cover off. He was handcuffed to the bed.
Well, you should have done like the Laker girls win. Holy shit, that's the funniest thing I've seen all day, man.
I didn't even want to look at the guy. You don't want to give him any kind of an edge. Like, no.
Not funny!
He might use his game Jedi mind tricks on
just
you.
Like,
these are the balls you're looking for.
Well, first of all, I didn't know if he was handcuffed to the bed or not, and if he was going to jump up at me or something.
He was
going to
rape
you.
Yeah. Kind of scary.
Just going to sit there and let the guards do their job.
Was that like something for your job where you were doing the wiring or whatever?
Yeah.
Yikes.
I mean,
like the patient wanted a little wiring from Steven.
Yeah. Whoa.
Oh, Mr. Jawa.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
And that's the news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week. I think we should roll right into the DVDs. What do you guys say?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Ow! Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standing up for the shot! DVDs! Oh, hell, Yizzle! The DVDs!
Focusing on tonight's service.
Huh? All right, Bill, let's do the DVDs.
Welcome to my dad. All right, DVDs for Tuesday, September 29th, 2009. Sorry, I had to burp again.
Oh. I was like, we lost
Don't
Bill.
Drink 7-Up during the show. Starting with Away We Go on DVD and Blu-ray. The Maya Rudolph, John Krasinski film.
Oh, that looked it looked interesting.
Directed
enough,
by Sam Mendes or Mendes.
I was curious about this.
Yeah, I was too.
So
I'm definitely going to check it out.
Yeah, definitely.
It's got a good cast. Catherine O'Hara, Allison Janney, Jeff Daniels, Jim Gaffigan.
Oh, okay.
Looks interesting. It looks like it's a comedy for grown-ups.
2, 4, 6, 8 Who do I appreciate?
I don't know.
I'll never quite understand this, but some company got a hold of the Cagney and Lacey catalog.
Oh, yeah!
And decided not to release them in season sets, but to release them by subject matter.
What?
Yeah, and this Cagney and Lacey being released is called Cagney and Lacey, The Menopause Years.
What?
Yeah, nothing more I want to see than Tyne Daly and Sharon Gless suffering from menopause on a cop show.
Yeah, that is how you play Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see the Caddy and Lacey the Guitar Hero collection.
That would be something.
You mean nothing to me. You've destroyed me emotionally. I hate you.
Wow. I have no comment on this.
Well, you know, he has a lot of issues to work through. He needs to look at that mirror.
I was actually a Cagney and Lacey viewer. I like watched it, I believe, at my grandparents' house.
I was too young to really watch it, but I know I loved the theme song.
Yeah, me too. I wonder if I've used that in an intro before. Can't remember.
I think you may have a long time ago, but I think it's time to use it again.
Definitely. Digging that shit.
All right, on Blu-ray this week, The Dark Crystal.
Ooh.
One of the most awkward of the Jim Henson produced films.
I think I saw it theatrically, and I don't even think I've seen it on cable.
You know what? I saw this movie like twice as a kid, and it confused the shit out of me.
I was just reading it whilst sitting on the crappers.
Plus, it's about all it's worth. It's very weird. It's got those weird...
It's really imaginative. It's very cool for just... It's imagination.
Yeah, but the whole, like, the full body puppets, like, doing stunts and stuff just looks so odd.
It is this weird.
And it's got to look even weirder in HD on Blu-ray.
That's definitely. I'm lying if I say I'm going to check this out, but it's. I'm intrigued.
It could be worth a rental.
Definitely.
Drag queen.
What? Oh. What the hell does that have to do with anything?
Sorry. Next on DVD and Blu-ray, The Girlfriend Experience, the Steven Soderbergh film with porn star Sasha Grey.
I heard it's a really good movie.
Yeah, that's from what I understand. She does an excellent job. That she could actually be an actress as opposed to having 50-man gangbangs.
I think a lot of what they say, like, I believe in interviews with her, she said she's in porn because she enjoys it. She's likes she's into sex and stuff.
Yeah, well,
pork
good
chop
for
sandwiches.
Her.
And his next film, he went from that porn actress to Matt Damon. Would he lie to us?
Oh, Matt Damon. Every time I watched Team America, and they have Matt Damon marionette in there that just says its name.
It's
Matt Damon. Next DVD is something I need to recommend: The Guild. It's a internet series.
Oh yeah,
by Felicia Day. The cute little redhead that was in Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
Right, yeah. That's it. That's what I've heard from her.
This is season one and two of The Guild.
Now, if
very
I have
short
this,
episodes, like 5-minute episodes.
If I have this right, Bill, they're trying to tell me that geeks love her, right?
That she's, apparently.
Because she's a geek chick.
Yeah.
She's a girl who's cute who likes geek stuff.
Geek stuff.
Yeah.
And I saw that one video, what is it called, where...
Do you want to date my avatar?
Yeah, that's it. And she does look very cute in that.
She is cute. But the show is very entertaining, even if you don't play MMOs.
I always see it on the Xbox Live that you can purchase episodes of it.
Yeah, it's very funny. There, you know, we played Star Wars Galaxies for a while, and you could... If we can relate to a lot of this stuff.
Right.
It's very funny, especially like the guild leader. His name is Vork. It reminds me of a certain guild leader we had for.
That's funny. I'm going to check that out.
The Antarian Rangers.
So basically what it is, Bill, is it's the people who are in a guild and how they relate to each other.
Yeah.
And it's comedic.
Yeah.
All right.
It's very funny.
Holy balls!
Yeah, you have the anal guild leader, the overtly sexual teenager, the obsessive guy, you know, just...
And they show the way they really look compared to their avatars.
Yeah. But it's a great little show.
Awesome.
Maybe.
All right. Next DVD is... Shit. Sorry. I just... Close my window. Kings, the complete series.
Kings, the NBC TV show that they gave the short shrift to, basically?
They gave absolutely no chance to this excellent show.
Is it on Blu-ray, you said?
No, just DVD.
Oh, okay.
I think where they made their major mistake was not emphasizing the fact that it's a fictionalized retelling of the story of King David from the Bible. I think that would have brought in more viewers. It's really a good, good show. I watched it all on Hulu.
Heather really liked it too. She was into it, and then it disappeared from the schedule.
Yeah, it ended the last two episodes. It was a two-parter. Were tremendous. It was just so disappointing that they basically gave up on it, didn't give it a chance.
Great actors, too. Al Swearengen from Deadwood, whose real name is Blankety Blank. He's fantastic.
Lovejoy.
Yeah, Lovejoy.
Ian McShane.
Ian McShane. He's fantastic in the show.
Yes, he is. Next DVD is a show I cannot recommend.
Okay.
I hated it. Life on Mars, the complete series. This is the U.S. version. I actually love Series 1 and 2 from the UK.
Right, isn't the UK version on Blu-ray? Or at least...
If it is, it's not available here.
Because I want to check it out. Because you told me it's really good.
It is such a great show. The original Life on Mars with... made by Matthew Graham and
Ashley
Farrow.
I've seen the very first episode of the British.
It just gets so much better. Like the season or series one was great, and series two was tremendous. And then they move on to the 80s with Ashes to Ashes, and it's really good. And it's a great series. I really, really enjoyed it. But this American series was such a bad idea, totally miscast. Really, really poorly adapted, and quite possibly one of the absolute worst endings to a series ever. It was just complete and total pulled it out of their ass bullshit.
Is that like an ending they wouldn't have used had they not gotten canceled, maybe?
I think that was the ending they always wanted to use, actually.
Oh.
It's terrible. It's just such a terrible, terrible idea. It's
okay, that
up
is
there
sick.
With... Mixed Spaced. Thank God that never got put on the air.
Mixed Spaced.
I was reading on Edgar Wright's blog. This past week was the 10th anniversary of the airing of season one of Spaced on Channel 4 in the UK. And he said that while he was in Toronto shooting the Scott Pilgrim film, they actually had a night where they watched the first episode of Spaced and then the pilot of the U.S. version of Spaced.
Oh, really?
And I guess it is so unbearably bad. I would love to see it just out of morbid curiosity.
Yeah, remember, like, on YouTube you can see the American version of Red Dwarf. Holy shit.
Oh, my God, with Craig Bierko.
Holy shit, I didn't last 10 minutes, man.
I'll say I haven't even tried because you told me about it.
Maybe not even 5 minutes.
I don't think I have that morbid
curiosity. The cat was a woman, right?
I'm almost
positive Cat was a woman.
Craig Bierko is Dave Lister.
It's Dave.
And Crichton is there.
Well,
Crichton
the movie's
the,
finally
the,
coming
the
out
real
on DVD.
Crichton, but it just felt terrible
the movies.
For him.
Yeah, Red Dwarf the movie is coming
really?
Out on DVD.
Wow, that's cool.
Sometime here in October.
Because they did those specials recently, didn't they?
Yeah, Back to Earth.
Awesome.
It was a 3-part special where they really only needed 2.
Yep, okay.
Yep. All right, moving on. Monsters vs. Aliens on DVD and Blu-ray.
Oh, the DreamWorks.
Yeah, from what I understand, it's pretty bad. So. Yeah.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Well, deal with it, Luke, you whiny bastard.
I'm going to go with Luke. I'd rather go pick up power converters than watch
I think Luke totally could have become the Dark Lord of the Sith.
Sarg Tillion has a bad motivator. Look.
Shut up.
I said, look. He's all
go bullseye some womp rat. Ass. All right, moving on. Nothing else, Luke? Okay.
Think he's done.
Moving on, then, DVDs. Let's see here. Superman, Batman, Public Enemies.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done. Now, come on, get to it.
Yeah, well, your bones are going to be smoking in an hour.
In an hour. Awesome. So what is
you
this?
Know, one day I'm going to open up a barbecue place and call it Owen and Beru's Smoky Bones.
Nice. So what is this Batman-Superman thing anyway?
Well, this is a story where Lex Luthor has become president.
What?
Yes.
Gasp.
And only Batman and Superman can stand against the new regime. And they use their outcast status to investigate a scandal. And it's supposedly pretty cool.
What are you?
And it's on DVD and Blu-ray. So.
Sweet! Yeah, you know what? I love Warner's is releasing all their animated movies like Green Lantern and stuff on Blu-ray. It's awesome.
I still have yet to watch Green Lantern First Flight.
Oh, you know what? I haven't watched it either. I really want to check it out.
Yeah, so do I.
Awesome.
And lastly, The Wizard of Oz.
Here we go again.
70th Anniversary Ultimate Collector's Edition on Blu-ray.
You know what? I'll check it out.
Yeah, I'll rent it just to see what it looks like.
You know, because when I was a kid, when I would watch Wizard of Oz, it was like it really had that magical element, and the Wicked Witch did scare the shit out of me.
Yeah. I had, after the first time I saw it, I think I saw it the first time in elementary school on 16mm film. And that scene when the tornado and she sees the woman on the bike. That scared the living shit out of me. I had nightmares of tornadoes for the rest of my life.
That lady was perfect casting. She was so creepy.
But this thing is absolutely loaded. It's got limited edition.
We represent the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild.
Limited edition 70th anniversary watch with genuine crystals, original 1939 campaign book, behind the curtains of production. What is this? 52-page commemorative book. Replica of original movie budget and all kinds of special features. So if you're a big, big fan of the film, you might want to pick this up for probably around $60.
I'll rent it.
I don't care enough about Wizard of Oz to
invest
that kind of
money
in it. It's
the kind of thing, I can just picture it now. I'm telling my daughter, come on, you got to watch this. I loved it when I was a kid. Cannot even hold her attention for 2 seconds. Maybe the part with the munchkins, possibly. But
everyone loves midgets.
Yeah, but I really don't see it holding her attention for the whole flick. You know what I'm saying?
Raises him sad. Brain broken.
Was Master Blaster in Wizard of Oz?
Hearing wonky.
Yes.
Yes.
Let me explain.
He was part of the Lollipop Guild.
20 men enter, only him leave.
Such a stilted line.
That's where he got the idea for pig shit.
Master Blaster!
Huh?
Listen to the law!
Awesome.
That entire movie is filled with stilted dialogue, but it's still awesome.
Only him leave. It's like, couldn't you have said, cut, let's do that again. It's like, print that shit, let's get that out of the desert.
I think
it's hot as hell in the desert.
It was way too hot, and I think maybe there was some drugs being passed around.
Nice. You know, I have heard Mel Gibson say that he was drunk through the entire movie.
I don't doubt that at all.
I don't even think he read the script, because I would have said no had I read, and then you meet a bunch of little kids. Whee!
And then
you fight a massive Down syndrome patient.
Yeah.
Under a cage filled with weapons.
You know, now that the more you say that, it's just like, who, what, how, why did they go with the? And Max, he's from the planet Zeiss.
Remember this? Remember this? Max from Zeiss.
No.
Remember this?
And that's DVD
Zeiss
for this week.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs.
Everybody's gunning for you.
Huh?
I'll have to watch my back then.
Okay, that is sick.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
Everybody's gunning for you.
Ow! Ow!
Oh my god. Alright, everybody, that was episode 177 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you, sigh, as it were. Thank you very much. Go to nowhereinmulberry.com. You could find links to Mulberry Old School. Listen to every single one of the shows we've ever done. Including,
yikes,
you will find links there to the NIM Book Club and the Enhanced NIM Book Club. on the right hand side. And you also find links to our forum, join our forum, comment on our shows, send us email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Also, send us a voicemail at 1206-202-3491 or send an MP3 recording of your comments to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Awesome. Right, Steven?
Awesome.
Did I get that all out?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was good. That was
a reward.
Yes, you will get a reward.
That was solid.
You know, from time to time we get awesome feedback via email, and I really think that I should start printing it up. If you want your comments read on the air, tell me that. Say, read this on the air, or this is not for the air. And I should print them up and just read them on the show, Bill. What do you think?
Yeah, just, you know, highlight certain parts and give them a little shout-out.
The part about things being so funny.
About things being awesome.
I am going to destroy you.
Oh, well, threats? Not threats.
No, we need to delete those and then report them to your ISP.
I was telling Jason, I got an old friend of mine from high school to, she got started listening to some of our episodes, and I got her into True Blood. She's really enjoying that. So.
Sweet. We got to recruit
listeners. Yeah, that's
listeners.
What I was recruiting, and she's been listening to the old episodes.
We need to start a Tell Your Friend campaign, don't you
sure.
think? Sure. Because you know what? One thing I don't think I could ever do is listen to the show with people like family members.
Yeah.
No,
because a lot
no.
of times you get the oh, "How's your little show going?" or whatever. It's like, oh,
yeah, I get that. I hate that.
How's your cute little worthless waste of time doing? Oh well, you know, it's going. But...
That's so interesting.
Yeah. What are you talking about? But
I get that a lot.
But I encourage anybody to listen as long as I don't have to, you know, sit there while you're listening.
Thank my friend Annette for listening.
Yes,
checking this out and join the forum. I've told her to join, and
awesome.
Hopefully, she will.
Definitely, I want everybody who listens to the show to join the forum. Don't you, Bill? Wouldn't it be nice to get more comments?
That
on the
would
forum?
Be nice. I would like to see a little more activity on the forum.
Also, you'll find links to our Facebook on nowheremulberry.com also, and join us on Facebook, and you can comment on the shows there too. Mm-hmm. And remember, next week we will be talking about Dollhouse and Smallville. I'm very excited, guys. Well, I'm not that excited, but I'm excited. You know, we need some more shows to talk about, right?
Yeah.
We lost True Blood. We lost The Colony.
We got The Fringe back.
We got The Fringe
back. Yep. We get the...
And, stuff like that. And we've got Heroes.
Come October 28th, we get the FNL back.
Nice. Ooh. I can't wait. With Gambit. exactly. What
Half
do you guys say?
Gambit.
Yeah. Let's end the show, guys. See you next week, everybody.
See ya.
Absolutely bad.
Not worth it.
Then
what the hell is going on?
Can't take it anymore. I cannot take it anymore. Unreal. Oh, mate, that's the first.
They're gone. So are they coming back?
I can't take it anymore.
Wow. Gordon really hated the show tonight.
I thought that was us leaving.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done. Now, come on, get to it.